Soon, cells will be precisely programmed.
Viruses can be reprogrammed. They're essentially software. Think of them as apps for your cell phone.
And coding with DNA will no longer be just for expensive laboratories, but also for home use.
Come check out where CRISPR kits are being made.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Monday, January 4th, 2021. Pretty sure I said 2020 the last couple shows. 2021. Thank you for joining me today. A lot to talk about. I wasn't actually planning on doing a show today. I'm trying to squeeze in a day off at some place here, but there's just too much to get to. There's a really outstanding article from Off Guardian today, which kind of just was the decision earlier in the day for me to come out and talk about what's going on in that regard, because it really does bolster what we've been saying around this topic for a really long time, and backed up with sourced material and facts coming from the experts and the sources that we're supposed to be listening to. Not that that's the only people we should be, but just continuing to show you that even using their source material and who they tell us we should listen to, we're still confirming the facts, what we're trying to talk about today. But we're going to get into the concept of the safety trials again and how it's not that they're not safety trials, that at the basic understanding of what this is a rushed pretense of safety trials for, I have plenty of opinions, but I would argue something quite other than safety. We're also going to talk about how in that article as well gets into the discussion of isolation and how it talks about some very interesting things that I've been looking into from a researcher that we'll talk about in a minute. That basically got a response from the UK, from their health officials, telling them that they did not use an isolated virus. They actually have a computer model that they used instead. I find that to be very, very revealing. But we'll get into this and talk about all this, because this is a very important discussion in this larger illusion that it is. And we're also going to talk about the side effects and how it's so incredibly alarming, how obvious and how many there are, and how other experts are going, yes, this is alarming. And yet the media is doing everything in its power to downplay that. Now, you could in your mind be thinking, well, because vaccines, people won't get them, and that's what we need. But do they not have an obligation to, so we're told, to give us the truth, the facts? Is it not safer and better, just better all around, to make sure people are aware of the full risks? You know, informed consent at all? Informed consent and all? But apparently not. Well, this is just, again, kind of a facetious point to, again, show you that the media is not here to inform you whatsoever, as well as a really upsetting point in regard to elderly care in the UK. That's just heartbreaking. And then a mask discussion at the end, again, that has to do specifically with children, and how a study in Germany with a 20,000 plus group discovered some pretty interesting things about the side effects happening to children who are wearing these masks. But we'll get to all of that today, so make sure you stay tuned till the end. But I'm going to start today with a discussion of Julian Assange, very quickly going over what just happened. Right now, this is kind of an interesting point, because at surface level, this is good news. For those on the podcast, UK judge refuses US extradition of WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. And I was quick to say, yeah, this is good news. And I do believe it's good news, but I'm not sure this is where this ends up is what matters. And this is interesting the way it's going forward, because they're saying we're not going to extradite him. And yet the U.S. is still appealing that, so it's not even set in stone, but yet simultaneously seeming to confirm what the U.S. is saying. So it's a little bit alarming that this may be a ploy, which I think we should be asking that about literally everything we deal with today, because they are trying to manipulate you. You know, the hierarchy enslaving you, for those that want an acronym. A British judge on Monday rejected the United States' request to extradite WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange to face espionage charges over the publication of secret U.S. documents a decade ago. You know, documents that were leaked to him by a whistleblower who should have been protected under the Whistleblower Act, because he at the time very clearly exposed war crimes that nobody denies. But they're attacking everybody who showed them to you because that's how justice is supposed to go, apparently, in this country, saying he was likely to kill himself if held under harsh U.S. conditions. And that's what they were saying about him, which is interesting, again, because it really comes down to show you that this is nobody's even questioning now what the state that he's in. And that in and of itself is a really big deal because Nils Melsner, the rapporteur on torture for the UN, has repeatedly stated that he is showing every sign of psychological torture. And nobody cares, apparently. The UK, the US won't even respond, despite them being obligated under the UN Charter to conduct an investigation, whether they agree with it or not. But they don't, because these people don't care about laws and rules and mandate. They don't care. Yet they'll happily use those things in positions of power against people they don't like. This applies to everything we're talking about today. This is the government, the governments, all of the powerful governments out there that are abusing the situations we're in, just like they're abusing this. In a mixed ruling for Assange and his supporters, District Judge Vanessa Barrister rejected defense arguments that the 49-year-old Australian, Julian Assange, faces a politically motivated American prosecution and that rides roughshod over free speech prosecutions. Right, so she essentially is saying that's not what's happening. Which doesn't, I mean, isn't the argument that if he is being psychologically tortured, doesn't that seem to, I mean, those things do not see you, it doesn't seem like you can say that he is not being prosecuted for political motivations and that they're riding roughshod over his free speech protections while then pointing out that he's being abused in every way and that even the UN rapporteur is pointing out all of these things, but interesting, right? That's why I'm feeling a political motivation here. Now, things in the past of the judge, this particular judge, have not given me reason to believe that she's on anybody on our side, let alone Julian Assange's. But she said Assange's precarious mental health would likely deteriorate further under the conditions of, quote, near total isolation that he'd face in U.S. prison. It says, quote, I find that the mental condition of Julian Assange is such that it would be oppressive to extradite him to the United States of America. Like, do you realize what that is saying? Like, even an ally is saying, no, we can't send him over there. Gosh, that'd be much worse for him. You mean the shining beacon of freedom and liberty, the U.S. government around the world? Right? It doesn't seem to add up, does it? Because the truth is that everybody's aware of what this government is. But they also know that they have a direction to make sure that they continue to sell it to you as the shining beacon of freedom and liberty, right? The people that believe that are you, Americans, watching this show in the United States. That's why your government pretends to be like that, because they know that you want that. There's a big difference between the government and the American people. One are the real rulers of this country, and the other are the agents of the real rulers of this country. The government is supposed to work for you. That's not how it works today. They've stolen that from us, just like everything else. But can't send him to the United States because obviously that would be a very oppressive situation, right? I find that to be very telling. Lawyers for the U.S. government said they would appeal the decision, and the U.S. Department of Justice said it would continue to seek Assange's extradition. Right, for all the Trump supporters out there thinking this is some kind of a 4D chess move, right? This is still his government, and he is still driving this train, and it's still obvious that he is. Whether or not he's considering a pardon, which again, I take issue with because you don't pardon someone who didn't break any laws. You vindicate them. But whether or not, it seems like he's at the very least still allowing this to go forward, which is the opposite. I mean, I always placate this discussion because I want to try to show the people that wrongly believe that they're being manipulated without just saying, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're not seeing it right. But at the end of the day, guys, it's very clear that Trump is not here to do this. To fight for him, to help him. He's in fact, you know, remember Mr. I Love WikiLeaks, what, 100 times he said this, but then later pretends he doesn't even know who they are? There's something deceptive happening here. Doesn't mean he might not end up doing what we hope he will do, but I do not feel that the intentions are there like they might hope. But so the point is, while they're appealing this situation, I believe, and I'm not sure what they have, I was under the impression that you needed to have grounds for an appeal. What are they appealing on? What happened that wasn't correct? Or is it that you can just appeal any ruling? Right? I mean, this is in the UK, so, you know, you guys let me know. Because I was under the impression that you had to have some kind of a grounds to say, well, this was wrong, or they did this incorrectly, and so we want to appeal that situation. So, but they're going to appeal, so this will continue. arguably was, well, they'll keep him in the same prison while they continue the process. But as many are pointing out, regardless of whether this goes on, if we're all in agreement that this person is being, whether it's happening to him or people are doing it to him, and I believe it's all pretty, according to Nils Melzner, the UN rapporteur, he's being tortured. We all agree on that, apparently. So he should immediately be moved to somewhere, whether it's a controlled prison type area or not, but a hospital, not a prison. But it just goes to show you yet again that they don't care about the human rights or the simply the medical condition of this individual as long as they say he bad guy. Exactly what we see around the world. Oh, Iran bad guy. So we just don't care about anything that we pretend we care about when it comes to Iran. Because they're bad. Because they do bad things. So we're going to secretly or very publicly do really bad things to them because they're bad guys. But we'll then say at the same time, sanctimoniously march around the world pretending like we are the embodiment of all the things we're fighting for. And then we'll go over and murder civilians. And I mean, I could go off forever. But this is frustrating to continue to see this hypocritical stance. But it says, quote, while we are extremely disappointed in the court's ultimate decision, we are gratified that the United States prevailed on every point of law raised. Exactly. In particular, the court rejected all of Mr. Assange's arguments regarding political motivation, political offense, fair trial, and freedom of speech. I mean, how can you even argue that there's no political motivation here? Every part of this is political. We all know that what he exposed were actually crimes. So how is this not political? Assange's lawyers said they would ask for the release his release from the London prison, where he has been held for more than 18 months at a bail hearing on Wednesday. So hopefully that will happen. We'll wait and see. Another interesting note is that Mexico is offering Julian Assange asylum. So one more reason why we're probably going to see a regime change attempt against Mexico, because Almo is not going along with the U.S. game plan. That's Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador, the president of Mexico, short AMLO. He says that he will offer Julian Assange political asylum and supports the decision of British judge to deny extradition to the U.S. Says, quote, Assange is a journalist and deserves a chance. I'm in favor of pardoning him. We'll give him protection. Assange's team did not immediately comment on the offer and restated calls for the U.S. president to issue a pardon. In any case, it shows you clearly that there are some people actually out there that, you know, leaders, and again, sometimes people speak up just because they see it's a positive benefit to be the good guy in this moment, whether they actually believe it or not. My opinion, I do believe that specifically the president of Mexico is definitely of the mindset that to go against this whole kind of, you know, what is it? Caitlin Johnstone calls the blob, right? This authoritarian entity that's just kind of scooping up countries around the world. They're clearly kind of against this effort, and that's why we're going to continue to see efforts to make them the bad guy. But if you want to keep updates on this topic, there's a couple of channels that I really enjoy and I think they do fantastic work. One of which is Taylor Hudak, who works with the Assange Vigil as well as Activism Munich. And she, I believe, is currently there covering the story. She's got some videos there from on the ground worth checking out. She does great work. I'm actually talking to her about possibly doing something in the future. And then as well as Slow News Day, which you guys are all familiar with, they'll be following this stuff and giving you updates on what's going on. I hope to see some better outcomes, but I guess on Wednesday is when we'll see the next discussion in regard to whether he'll be moved from the prison. You know, the prison he's in for revealing the truth to you. Because, you know, freedom and liberty and all that. So, which brings us to the opening discussion today of something very, very, very important. The illusion of your vaccine safety trials. Another home run from Off-Guardian. And this is what's so frustrating about how these entities, Off-Guardian specifically, has been just outrageously attacked. Any Off-Guardian link that's even on Twitter is automatically a dangerous link, no matter what. Same thing I do with BitChute. Despite, obviously, I don't know, you can't see the URL, but they have an SSL, and it's a normal, it's a safe website, right? But everything they talk about is cited. You can research it for yourself. But if you go watch some doctor on mainstream media or a YouTube channel of some, you know, whatever that MDog or whatever these ones they always point to that are really just TV people that are screaming, but they don't source things for you. Almost all of them do not source material for you. This one will, and it should be important for you to go through and read them and think about them for yourself. It says the most important, meaningful phase of COVID-19 vaccine trials has barely begun, let alone been completed. Now, it mentions in this down at the bottom, but in general, just want you to start out by understanding, even on top of not being done with the trials at all, animal trials were skipped outright. Outright. It's important to understand that, because that is a huge part of this. I mean, look, this discussion is upset. It's important to understand that there's already people in the chat here that are trying to troll and point to other people that want to scream at you about this one thing, that we know this one thing, this is what we know, and nobody else is right. What we're going to do today is go through the facts, go through the information. And the point is for you to think what you want to think based on the evidence. Come to your own conclusions about it. Not just listen to one person that screams to tell you what you're supposed to think. The point about all of this is that it's always about evolving information. There's a lot going on here, especially in regard to the isolation discussion. And this is the funny point, is there's people pretending this is all Kaufman, it's Kaufman, despite the reality that I talked about that discussion after reading the literature before I ever interviewed Kaufman. But, you know, facts, what do facts mean to people that are trying to deceive you? This is one of the most important discussions happening in this whole thing, and it's important for you to keep an open mind as we go through this. Most of you probably already know what's going on here. But it says, people genuinely appear to believe that the COVID-19 vaccines have undergone clinical trials and have been proven to be both safe and effective. That belief is simply wrong. The main point is this. If you decide to have Pfizer and BioNTech's experimental mRNA-based BNT162b2, or just BNT vaccine, or any other claimed COVID-19 vaccine for that matter, you are a test subject in a drug trial. I mean, just really let that sink in, that right now we are currently undergoing a vaccine trial. Millions of people, as of the last update, almost 4.5 million people just in the United States have already gotten this. They are all vaccine safety trial subjects, whether they know it or not. It says the mRNA in the BNT vaccine was sequenced from the third iteration of the original Wuhan published genome, SARS-CoV-2. However, the WHO protocols Pfizer used to produce the mRNA do not appear to identify any nucleotide sequences that are unique to the SARS-CoV-2 virus. And when investigator Franz Leder questioned Pfizer, they confirmed, quote, the DNA template does not come directly from isolated virus from an infected person. You know, and these are just facts, you know. So if you want to listen to someone screaming about things, that's one thing, but we can look at the facts. That's always important to do. Now, this is actually an article that was put out about the email exchange herself from Frances Leder. Here's her page itself from LinkedIn, so you guys can look into her and check her out for yourself. But this is an important part of this, is in regard to what they said themselves. She says, I set out proving that the vaccine has been created from a computer-generated genomic sequence and not one isolated from an infected person, either in Wuhan or elsewhere in the world. The Pfizer biotech vaccine was approved by UK MHRA, Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency, and I initiated a polite exchange of emails with them as follows. Now you can see here, she says, dear sirs, as you have approved the Pfizer biotech vaccine for distribution to UK citizens from next week, I would appreciate a copy of the vaccine insert detailing full ingredients, all known side effects, and all other medicine safety information, which would normally be available with any medication. The FOIA request, the Freedom of Information request, to Public Health Scotland recommended that you should be able to supply this information, as they cannot. Which is in and of itself interesting, as you have groups that are right now, you know, that are claiming that they have, there's plenty of groups right now that are making vaccines and rolling out programs that are simply using material from other locations, which is one of the things we'll get to in a minute. But as it says, dear Fran Leder, thank you for your email dated 3/12. We recently published information on the product and advise you to review this at the following link of her webpage, and they give her information. So kind of pushing it off. She says, dear Adam, you took so long to answer my email and I've already seen the docs that you offer below, plus the advice distributed to healthcare professionals. Can you give me any idea of what is in the active ingredient in the one we're talking about, vaccine BNT? It is not specified anywhere that I have seen. Thanks for your attention to this matter. Now it says, again, thank you for your email. Apologies on the delayed response. The BNT RNA is embedded in the lipid nanoparticles, which on a different subject is something that is very clearly a problem in regard to PEG, which we've talked about, as well as Dr. Lyons Wheeler, who I'm going to have on the show on Wednesday, will go into this in depth. very clearly, one of a very intelligent individual who is talking about the dangers of what is in this and things that he's already warned them about, the unsafe isotopes, and he sent these to all these vaccine manufacturers months ago, didn't care. And we're seeing the allergic stuff happen now, which we'll get into later in the show. COVID-19 mRNA vaccine BNT is highly purified, single-stranded, five-capped messenger RNA produced by free cell in vitro transcription from the corresponding DNA templates, encoding the viral spikes protein of SARS-CoV-2. Should you require any further advice or assistance on this matter, please feel free to call us. She goes, thank you, Adam. I would like to confirm that the DNA template has come from a computer-generated genomic sequence first notified by WHO by China rather than an isolated virus from an infected person. Thank you. They follow up by saying, we'll get back to you, essentially. In the meantime, you should have any questions, blah, blah, blah. But they follow up and say, dear Francis Leader, thank you for your email. This information, and they post a link, which you can check out for yourself. A quality target product profile for the finished product has been established, taking into consideration the WHO's WHO target product profiles for COVID-19. The DNA template used does not come directly from an isolated virus from an infected person. Well, isn't that interesting? Should you require any further advice or assistance on the matter, please feel free to call us. She says, just to add some further information, or they say, just to add further information, the DNA template was generated via a combination of gene synthesis and recombinant DNA technology. Should you require any further information, please get back to us. Now, Twitter suspended her account after she posted the proof of these emails. That's interesting, isn't it? Without a purified samples, virus the UK MHRA confesses that the Pfizer vaccine mRNA element is a computer-generated genomic sequence amplified from RNA fragment found in one experimental study from Wuhan. After Neil Ferguson's catastrophic model, and this is what I just said earlier, after that led the world into the chaos we saw, how much faith do you actually have in these computer models? It's a good question. But the point is, and this is here for you to look at further, is this is what was said. The DNA template does not come directly from isolated virus from an infected person. Now, what we're talking about specifically is this one vaccine and what they said they used to create that vaccine. That's it. Now, it says, nor are there any completed clinical trials for these vaccines. Trials are ongoing. If you are jabbed with one, you are the guinea pig. Oh, and on the point in general, this one is interesting to see. There's a little more information that fleshes this out that I find it very revealing that in regard to Moderna, which is right on their website, look at the timeline here. Okay, so January 11th, Chinese authorities shared the genetic sequence of a novel coronavirus. Okay, so January 11th, 2 days later, 2 days, January 13th, the NIH and Moderna's infectious disease research team finalize the sequence for mRNA 1273. So 2 days, Moderna mobilized toward clinical manufacture. NIAID, part of NIH, disclosed their intent to run phase one studies using this. And it goes forward to February 7th, where it's saying their first batch was completed. And then they're using it right here for the first one trial where they're testing it on people. So within days after being sent the material from China, right? Because, you know, China, bad guy, right? So we should, but yet we're trusting their material. That seems to be a little bit of an issue for the people that are screaming, such as me being a Chinese shill, but they're the ones blindly trusting a Chinese material to, but you know, but who cares? Don't look at the facts. 2 days. So the point is that they use that and now they're already testing it on people. And if you look at other material, such as one of these examples, which of course, I'll show you what they say about it as well and say, that's fake news, but we'll show you why that doesn't really make much sense. Here is from the FDA and it's a CDC document. So, and this is, by the way, also on CDC material. You can see it says right here, as I've showed you before, since no qualified virus isolates of the 2019 coronavirus were available for CDC use at the time the test was developed. Okay, so again, going back to the timeline, we're talking about the time that this was happening, and they're talking about PCR in general, but we're talking about in the same time frame here. Where was it developed? And this study conducted, which we're talking, I had highlighted a moment ago. Oh, well, we're talking about generally the same time frame, so it says, lose my place. Assays designed for detection of the 2019 CoV RNA were tested with characterized stocks of in vitro transcribed full-length RNA of known titer RNA copies, spiked into a dilute consisting of a suspension of human A549 cells and viral transport medium to mimic clinical specimen. So just so we're very clear on what that is saying, they're saying they didn't have qualified virus isolates that were available to them, so they mimicked it. Okay, so that's what it says. No denying what it says. This is the time frame we're talking about, which, you know, 2 days later, we're already in, or technically, they were already making it, but if we want to jump to February 24th, so it's, you know, it's just very small period of time, and they're already injecting this in people. And here they are saying that they don't have the isolate. So here's what they're saying about it. I think this is very interesting. If you read what they're claiming the explanation is and then go back to what it actually says. Fact check. That document doesn't say that it doesn't exist. And that's not technically what I said or what I've ever said in regard to that point. We're simply talking about the facts. I'm not claiming that means everything's a hoax, despite thoughts that I have in regard to those topics that I do think that there's logic to, but that's simply not what I'm saying here. And this is how they use the sidestep. Sort of like saying we're talking about how things haven't been satisfied, like Koch's postulates or plenty of other examples. The sidestep is, oh, you're this one guy talking about this one thing, and that's why that's all debunked. That's ignorance. The same reason they can say that, oh, look, Fauci didn't talk about bacterial pneumonia in 2008, so that's why masks don't cause bacterial pneumonia? Yeah, that certainly makes sense. But that's the kind of logical fallacy we're seeing in this discussion. And there's people that are either intentionally trying to deceive you or just maybe not that bright. It says, since no qualified virus isolates, and this is the point I read to you, were designed for detection. They were tested with characterized stocks of, and it says, and of course, you notice the part that it leaves out, I find to be the most important part, where it says they did this to mimic clinical specimen. Very clearly it says that. And it's because they didn't have qualified isolates. But here's what it says. Dr. Silva said that the document is describing what was used to determine the lowest amount of viral genetic material for the PCR test. Okay, that already doesn't sound like what they were reading. Quote, they describe a very common process during assay setup where the limit of detection of the PCR assay was determined. Again, that doesn't sound anything like what they just said. In this case, the CDC have used transcribed RNA as the positive control, which means they used synthetically produced genetic material identical to that carried by the virus. Yeah, that's what it sure sounds like. But it says very clearly that they did that because they didn't have qualified isolates. Notice it's interesting how they kind of don't want to explain why they would state it like that. It says, quote, to calculate the limit of detection of the PCR assay, you need to have a known quantity of virus to extract genetic material from, or alternatively, a known quantity of RNA identical to that carried by the virus. According to De Silva, right, so they didn't say we did this because we need a certain amount. They said they didn't have right there. Since no qualified isolates of this are available. Okay, it says, according to De Silva, one reason for using transcribed RNA would have been that at the time of setup, not many standardized and qualified viral stocks would have been available to extract viral RNA from. Okay. So the argument essentially would be that, well, they're there, but they just didn't have them. Okay, and that you could argue is a fair argument. But there's plenty other examples that show you why that is just simply not the case. De Silva maintains that using transcribed RNA rather than RNA extracted from qualified viral stocks is no reason to question the existence of SARS-CoV-2. But see, here is the fallacy. Because in this point, it's not that you could argue that that would suggest it's not there. But anybody honest is not saying, here they're saying they haven't isolated or they don't have access to the isolates. And that then means everything's fake. No, I'm not saying that. I would argue that from a different point in many ways, but not right in here. We're talking about the facts that this is showing us. Quote, there are now hundreds of stocks of cultures of SARS-CoV-2 in laboratories around the world. Okay, well, we'll just take your word for it. And of course, they, in regard to that, you could say that is actually accurate because they're using, they're basically mimicking what the Chinese sample was taken in the very beginning. Now here, this is actually archived as well, so you guys can see this for yourself. Let's keep going on this article. The point again was, despite that, showing you that we're coming from a place where we're already taking at face value things that don't seem to be the truth, it says, nor are there any completed trials. And that's what this is mostly about. If you are being injected, you are the guinea pig today. On December the 8th, the BBC reported a study in The Lancet and categorically stated, quote, the Oxford AstraZeneca COVID vaccine is safe and effective, giving good protection, researchers have confirmed. BBC said that. Now, the BBC had no justification to make that claim, as we've already pointed out. The study in The Lancet did not confirm anything of the sort. And this has been a really weird, I would say very revealing series of events. Because I would argue it's because they seem quite desperate to drive this home. They are, like, Lancet specifically, which is one of the most well-regarded of these platforms, has been caught numerous times since this started, literally pointing to things that do not say what they're claiming they do. Masks was one of them, and they've already been caught by plenty of experts out there who are calling them out. They've already had one that's had to been pulled back. They're saying the study in Lancet did not confirm what they said that they did. The researchers wrote, the CHAD-OX1-nCoV-19 has an acceptable, so the vaccine has a acceptable safety profile and has been found to be efficacious against symptomatic COVID-19 in this interim analysis of ongoing clinical trials. You know how incredibly different that is than what the BBC tried to tell you it was? Just as I keep saying, they don't want you to trust the science. They want you to trust what they tell you is the science. That's ignorance. To just blindly trust what you're told because authorities said so. It says this was an interim analysis funded by, guess what? CEPI and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, among others. That in and of itself should raise red flags for you right now, seeing as how every part of this manipulation has been tied back to these same entities. The analysis was based upon trials which are years from completion and haven't reported anything. The researchers also stated, quote, there were no peer-reviewed publications available on efficacy of any severe acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus 2 vaccines. None. So wait, how are they able to cite that? Oh, because they were blindly repeating what the corporation told them. That's good journalism, BBC. There is no clear specific scientific evidence establishing either the safety or efficacy of proposed COVID-19 vaccines. The BBC and other mainstream reports that this evidence exists are simply false. And again, this is something we have already gone over. The Off-Guardian, again, is just they do a great job of kind of compiling a lot of different discussions into one. And this is an excellent article that I hope you guys will share with people. It says, we are going to focus on Pfizer and BioNTech's BNT vaccine. And this is an important point, but all of them, all the manufacturers, not just this one, have essentially exploited the same exact trick. The regulators and governments have worked with the pharmaceutical corporations to conflate the limited data from the initial or phase one trials with the incomplete and ongoing data collected from the substantially larger phase two and three trials. And this is something Del Bigtree's pointed out, numerous people, that they basically tried to make it sound like, you know, we're just going to combine them all and do them all at the same time. That's not how this works. That makes it one. That makes you basically you're doing the three right at the moment. Instead of doing them in the way they should, which is animal trials, then a small testing of dozens of people, then a larger testing in phase two, and then the largest in phase three. That's how it's supposed to go. They just skipped it all and pretended like we just jammed it all together because that totally makes sense. It says the mainstream media have then falsely claimed. Oh, well, did I make sure the regulators and governments have worked? The pharmaceutical corporations to conflate the limited data from the initial or phase one trials with the incomplete. Yeah, I was making sure I didn't miss that. And the complicity of the mainstream media in all of this cannot be ignored. The mainstream have then falsely claimed the 1, 2, 3 phase trials are complete and insinuated that the untested data demonstrates vaccine efficacy and safety. Do you realize how easy it is to see this? I don't know how we can see that as anything other than them desperately trying to drive this home for some kind of an endgame scenario. I mean, because this is revealing their hand. That's why we have 72% of healthcare workers in many places going, no, we're not going to take this dangerous thing. Now it says, in reality, not only has the reporting of existing data been manipulated to show efficacy that isn't evident in the raw data itself, the most important and meaningful phases of the trials have barely begun, let alone been completed. Recently, the UK Financial Times reported that the UK regulators, again, the MHRA, are due to approve AstraZeneca's Oxford vaccine, the COVID-19 vaccine. Now, the Financial Times revealed an anonymous statement from the UK Department of Health, quote, the venison's regulator is reviewing the final data from the University of Oxford AstraZeneca phase 3 clinical trials to determine whether the vaccine meets their strict standards of quality, safety, and effectiveness. thus giving the public the impression that the trials are complete and that the regulators have strict safety standards. Now, the phase 1, 2, and 3 trials for AZD1222 was registered with the US CDC as a clinical trial, NCT, and I'll call it NCT going forward, on December 29th. It is incomplete, and the estimated end date right now is February 21st, 2023. 2023. And yet they're already injecting people with this vaccine right now. And the CDC itself states no study results posted. I have it right here for you guys to look at yourselves. Or I did. Right here. There we go. There's two of them, actually. Where was the other one? In any case, we can see it say right here. No study results posted on. And this is what's crazy is this. So the media is telling you otherwise. They don't have this stuff in front of them. AstraZeneca are years away from reporting any final data. It is impossible for the UK Department of Health to review it because it doesn't exist. So you have to ask yourself if they're willing to be so overtly dishonest and know that it takes a just the desire to look to see how clearly they're lying to you. That has to show us that there's something larger happening than we realize. Because they've taken care in the past to at least try to pretend like they're not doing this, but now they're just on its face lying to you. And all you have to do is just look at the material to go, oh, wait, it's not even there. Now, NCT is one of four trials of the AZD vaccine. Another Russian arm of the AZD trial was suspended after a suspected unexpected serious adverse reaction, or SUSAR, event occurred. Now, the SUSAR supposedly happened in the UK after a 37-year-old woman developed inflammation of the spinal cord. We just talked about one of those. And it appears the Russian Ministry of Health have yet to even reinstate their arm of this after that happened. But the UK and the US and everywhere else, or the UK specifically and everywhere else, resumed them. It's interesting that Russia, after seeing something that happens in the UK, suspends their trial and the UK keeps marching forward. That's very revealing, isn't it? Now it says, on November 18th, Pfizer and BioNTech announced they had concluded their phase 3 trial of BNT. They had demonstrated efficacy of 95%, we heard, and the FDA gave them their emergency use authorization. The only part of that claim, according to Off Guardian, which is correct, that it was true, was compliance with the FDA emergency safety data milestones, the emergency authorization of use. They have not concluded their phase 3 trials. They haven't even fully completed phase 1, and that's easy to confirm. The fact that there are no completed clinical trials for the Pfizer and BioNTech BNT vaccine also explains why the FDA said additional adverse reactions, some of which may be serious, may become apparent with more widespread use of this vaccine. So you are the test. You are the one that will begin to show those effects, and they can go, oh, okay, let's make sure we mark that one down. So, okay, you're being experimented on. They also noted, quote, there is currently insufficient data to make conclusions about the safety of the vaccine in subpopulations such as children less than 16 of age, pregnant women, lactating individuals, and immunocompromised individuals, which is a huge portion of the population. The risk of vaccine-enhanced disease over time, potentially associated with waning immunity, remains unknown. It's interesting that they essentially seem to suggest that the idea of pathogenic priming, or ADE, is very much a possibility. Yet the first people to receive this vaccine are the most vulnerable. We've already talked about this. The most vulnerable people in society, many of whom are immunocompromised. The precautionary principle appears to have been abandoned completely in, you know, lieu of we're all in danger, so we're going to do things that are dangerous. I continue to assert that that's the most illogical thing possible. The notion that the purpose of the BNT vaccine rollout is to save lives appears untenable. They also point out Pfizer announcement enabled politicians, though, based on these, you know, unverifiable, seemingly fake information, to go on TV and pretend to cry. Watch this.
Just simple words there, reacting it.
Very real.
I'm emotional by that. It's just, it's been, you know, it's been such a tough year for so many people. And
yeah, clearly for you, right? Clearly. I mean, who buys that kind of stuff? That was such a fake, an obviously failed attempt to pretend to cry. because this vaccine is said to be effective and we've barely even tested it? I mean, they're going out of their way to convince you that this is not only the best thing ever, but that everybody's trying to get it so desperately. So you make sure you don't cut in line. They want you to think that everyone's doing it and you're the only one that hasn't rushed in. That's so obviously not what's happening right now. It says, it should be noted this only refers to an alleged reduction of COVID-19 symptoms among those who have the virus. The tested endpoints, and you just can't say this enough, do not demonstrate the vaccine will either reduce the spread of infection or save lives. It should also be noted that these figures suggest the threat from COVID-19 is vanishingly small. Exactly. I'm so glad they picked up on this. This is one of the main points that I made clear about in this discussion, is when they were pointing this out, their own documentation seems to suggest that there's a almost near zero risk. And plenty of studies also point that out. And yet simultaneously, we're in the biggest pandemic of a lifetime, of a century, or whatever we're going to call it. Doesn't add up. Now it says the absolute risk of developing COVID-19, right? Not in regard to specific, you know, case fatality, just the absolute risk, all things considered, of developing COVID-19 symptoms without the vaccine is supposedly, according to them, and you can see their math here, they're 0.88%, and with the vaccine, 0.044%. And that's what they're claiming is 95% effective. But in absolute terms, the effectiveness of the vaccine is 0.88 to 0.044. Now, in risk reduction of 0.84%, as they're saying, barely perceptible efficacy, unless you game the numbers like they're doing with everything else. Now, by using the relative instead of absolute risk reduction, the mainstream media were free to market the mRNA vaccine for Pfizer and BioNTech and other interested parties with impressive sounding claims. Again, that they took at face value from corporations who have an obvious profit motive. That's not journalism, that's propaganda. These weren't remotely truthful, as we know, not only because they relied upon statistical manipulation, but because no one had a clue about the actual safety or efficacy. To this day, this is what's incredible. To this day, there are no clinical trial results. But here we are screaming about how Pfizer told us it works real well. An analysis of available positive RT-PCR tests and mortality results led the Oxford Center for Evidence-Based Medicine estimated a very tentative COVID-19 case fatality rate. Right? Remember, there's infection fatality rate, there's case fatality rate. And they said a case fatality rate of 1.4%. Now, this is based upon the figures reported to the FDA by Pfizer and BioNTech. Their information, again, that's what's important to do, which is exactly what I try and do. It doesn't mean you take at face value what they're saying, but you're taking what they're saying and showing that even if that's true, that they're still deceiving you. Based upon their reported information, this indicates a broad population-based mortality risk from COVID-19 of 1.4, which is 0.012%. They just let that sink in. Please bear, they say, this incredibly remote risk in mind as we discuss the early indication of the apparent threat to public health presented by the vaccine itself. Now, it is reasonable to work in terms of population risk, they say, because while the chance of COVID-19 mortality seemingly increases with age, with the average age of death being 82 and the mortality distribution indistinguishable from standard mortality, which the Swiss Policy Research article I just showed you makes very clear, the intention is to give the vaccine to everybody regardless. And this is a point that I've made quite a bit. The idea that, look, you can even this all out and be like, okay, everybody's got a risk of so many percent. But if you actually break it down and realize that as even the WHO and the CDC and plenty of health have pointed out, that in the United States specifically, we're talking about 70% of the deaths from nursing homes, over 90% of those over 80. We just reported on this. Now, New York, is the example is just it's impossible to ignore. You remove that, it's almost as if this isn't happening. Or at the very least, it's dramatically less severe than anything else. And then you realize that even with all of that, that it's still basically the normal trend of mortality. I mean, it's no more risk to you than going out your door and risking normal everyday threats that you do when you live your life. That's also according to these studies. But if it's all dramatically over 80 with comorbidities, and basically below 50, you're statistically a zero risk, we're being deceived. The CDC defines an HIE as a health impact events as unable to perform normal daily activities, unable to work required care from doctor or healthcare professional. So it's quite severe, and it's not normal to have that happen the way it is right now. It says on December 18th, 112,807 people were injected with the Pfizer BioNTech vaccine in the U.S. Of these, 3,150 were subsequently unable to perform normal daily activities, unable to work, required care from doctor or healthcare professional. And we already actually reported on this. This was the document directly from the CDC. Now it says, this is the HIE rate, again, the health impact events rate of 2.8%. Right, so we have a higher percentage risk of something severe happening from the vaccine than you do from COVID-19, especially if you're under 50. This suggests that among the first 10 million people to receive the vaccine in the UK, around 280,000 may find themselves unable to perform normal daily activities, unable to work, and require medical care as a result, as it is the most vulnerable who are the first to receive this vaccine, as Whitney and I already talked about in numerous streams. Given the tiny risk of mortality from the COVID-19 disease, it is by no means clear that the risk is worth taking. But simply because this is a logical opinion rooted in the facts that goes against the mainstream narrative, it will be removed and attacked and censored and disparaged with, you know, ad hominem attacks and name calling, which is what good, smart people do. Now, it says not that any of the other vaccines seem any better, which is important to remember. But it says the Pfizer BioNTech trial was registered as a clinical trial number of the NCT with the CDC. Having recently discussed what they're saying they're about to share with you here with people who simply refused to believe the evidence in front of their own eyes, which is what we're all dealing with today. They say they think it is important to stress that this is the phase 3 clinical trial, which Pfizer claimed they had concluded in their press release. There isn't another one. This is the trial. Read what it states. The CDC says, quote, when available, study results. Oh, this is what I showed you, actually the wrong one a moment ago. This was the one I meant to show you right here. As you can see, no study results posted. I do have that up somewhere, and I feel like I must have put it in the wrong location. I don't want to freeze this up by looking for it. But this was the other one, as you can see, the double-blind placebo. This was the one that I was just talking about, or that we're getting into now, that says the study to describe safety in regard to COVID-19 is the one we're pointing to right down here. As I lose my spot here, hold on. Here we go. Okay. So, it says, when available, this is the CDC in a general sense, study results information is included in the study record under the study results tab. After study results information has been submitted to clinicaltrials.gov, but before it is posted, the results tab in the study record is labeled results submitted. Now, the archive version, which I just showed you, says no results right there. So how can they have no results, yet they're telling you them? The media is what we're talking about. It says no study results. Now, mainstream media reports giving the impression that these vaccines have been found to be effective and safe are not evidence, and they are not based on science. They're based on political policy, and they report dangerous pseudoscientific babble masquerading as science journalism. It's well put. There will be, of course, they say, mindless anti-rationalists, which we've all come in contact with, who will call this dangerous anti-vaxxer nonsense, all the time insisting that it is perfectly safe to give a vaccine with a questionable safety profile for which there is no completed clinical trials to the most vulnerable people in our society. As they point out, they're running out of patience with these people, and you know, I am too. On safety in general, the start date for the NCT trial was April 29th, and the estimated trial completion date is January 27th, 2023. And we're already injecting people with this. The estimated end date of the primary or phase 1 of the 3-phase trial is June 13th, 2021. We're not even done with phase 1. In fact, you are phase 1. That's what's happening right now. According to the current primary outcome measures, the minimum time frame for Pfizer to assess serious adverse events is 6 months after the last dose. According to them, this is the minimum term. This is Pfizer's minimum term for assessing safety, or really specifically serious adverse events, but safety is the ultimate point. Now, phase 1 is the only part of the NCT trial to have been completed and published. It was published on 14th, October 5th, October 5 months and 2 weeks after the start date. Most of that period was taken up with recruitment and allocation, it says. The minimum term for assessing the serious adverse events has not been met during phase one. 5 months, 2 weeks. Right? So they're claiming that they finished it and we're done, but they didn't even meet the minimum according to their own documentation. How is this allowed to happen? Oh, that's right, because we're all in danger, so we have to do things that are dangerous and skip safety trials because your safety. During phase one, 195 participants were split into 13 groups of 15 people. In each group, 12 received one of the two potential mRNA vaccine candidates and three a placebo. The threat of COVID-19, though tiny overall, is statistically zero for anybody 18 to 55. That's according to the CDC documentation, to their own statements. So you're taking this small discussion of a rushed concept that skipped animal trials and then not showing people material, pretending like it went through everything, deceiving everybody on a massive scale, just like they did every other time, just like they did with 1976 when they said everything was fine and they swapped the vaccine out at the last moment on one and used one they didn't even test. I've shown you that clip 100 times. It was Mike Wallace interviewed the guy, called him out. The WHO in their own documentation I showed you yesterday says very clearly that this whole thing was an illusion, that this H1N1 and the climate of fear, they called it, and the irrational vaccine programs. Those are direct quotes from the WHO document in 2011. Clearly those people were gotten rid of, and now there's people that are willing to toe the line. Says the UK Medical and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency, again, MHRA, approved the BNT vaccine to be given to vulnerable British people based upon a study of 39 older people. Very sound. This study reported a pretty high adverse reaction rate. A high rate of 39 people? And they even got rid of the people that they thought they were going to have effects. I mean, this is intentionally deceptive. The study reported a pretty high adverse reaction rate is crazy. It was produced exclusively from the R&D of the vaccine manufacturer. Research and development. The MHRA questioned nothing. So the health agency's regulatory agency, yeah, that's a oxymoron. It's simply not true, because here they are being handed material from a company that has a profit motive to sell this and get it out as quick as possible. They didn't question anything. They approved the BNT vaccine in the certain knowledge that there were no completed trials for this vaccine. In their public assessment, they stated, quote, "At the time of writing, the main clinical study is still ongoing. It was concluded that BNT has been shown to be effective in the prevention of COVID-19. Furthermore, the side effects observed with use of this vaccine are considered to be similar to those seen with other vaccines." Does anybody feel that's what's happening? Therefore, the MHRA concluded that the benefits are greater than the risks. Crazy. This conclusion and approval not only lacks supporting evidence, it is utterly at odds with what little is actually known about BNT. So they're simply stating things that even their information contradicts. The while Pfizer and BioNTech only completed trials of the vaccine on 39 relevant test subjects, the results, even from this practically inconsequential effort, suggest the risk from the vaccine is greater than the risk presented by COVID-19 by a considerable margin. But sure, rush out and get this because you're going to be a good citizen. This undoubtedly explains why the MHRA ordered software from European suppliers to deal with a slew of vaccine adverse reactions that they presumably anticipate. They stated, quote, "The MHRA urgently seeks an artificial intelligence software tool to process the expected high volume of COVID-19 vaccine adverse drug reactions." Do you see how crazy that is? The media is not reporting this. They're telling you, we need a bigger program because we know there's going to be a lot of side effects. And they go on to say it is not possible to retrofit their current system to handle the volume of adverse drug reactions that will be generated by a COVID-19 vaccine. This is the time where it is you choosing to actually look at the facts or choosing to listen to somebody telling you what the facts are. And it's so easy to see. It's right in front of you. Here is actually, this is an archived version of the document of them seeking out this program because they know there's going to be a large flow of adverse reactions. All this stuff is documented and easy for you to see. Now it says, from the way the manufacturers, politicians, regulators, and the mainstream media have approached vaccine safety, it is clear that they collectively have a total disregard for the welfare of vulnerable people. We really must put aside this infantile notion. And guys, this is so important to think about, like screaming about day in and day out. The infantile notion that the authorities care about us or our loved ones. They don't care about us. Our history is rife with examples of showing you how often they do things that in fact go against your best interest constantly. And this is just yet another example. But there's always those people out there that want to, you know, the sycophants that will try to get you to believe that they're just fighting for you and it's only the other side, the bad guy. Of the 39 older people at most risk in the phase one study, none of them had serious comorbidities, with the overwhelming majority of those who die with COVID-19 possess. And this is the point. So they made sure that they were not testing for the people that were actually most at risk, but yet right now they're rolling these out for those people. The people actually at risk from COVID-19 nominally entered the BNT trials at phase 2 and 3. However, it appears, and right now that's what's supposed to be happening now, but they're already injecting these people in the real world. It says it appears every effort has been made to limit, if not completely remove, their number two. And the number of the people that are testing with those extra things. Like basically, they don't want you to see the damaging aspects of this for the people that they know are going to hurt. Immunocompromised or individuals with known or suspected immunodeficiency. Right? Those are people that should, according to the CDC before this, they shouldn't have gotten vaccinated at all. But I guess, you know, COVID-19 just changes everything. Right? No rules apply anymore. As it finishes, it says, but there are no reported results from either phase 2 or 3 at all. No one has the faintest idea what the health risks of BNT are, especially for those it is supposedly designed to protect. And no one in authority gives a damn. Obviously, phase 2 and 3 clinical trials are now a moot point anyway, because as Del Bigtree pointed out, the regulatory agencies have already approved the vaccine. Excuse me. And health services have started injecting people with the vaccine right now. And it very quickly, especially with the argument and the illusion of the new strain, they're going to use the argument that, well, there's a moral imperative here. We can't give people placebos in the middle of a pandemic. So they're going to skip the trial under the guise that it's not morally sound. But it's totally morally sound to do all the other things we just talked about. All they're doing is justifying skipping safety trials entirely and beginning to continue to inject people. The degree to which people have been misled into believing that these vaccines are known to be either safe or effective is almost beyond imagination. Sadly, we don't need imagination, they say. The evidence is quite clear. And that's a resounding statement that should echo across this whole conversation. It's crazy. It is very clear. But there's always someone out there trying to scream you down to think something else. But that's why you guys are here, because you're intelligent people that can think for yourselves. That's always what it comes down to. Every day I tell you, don't trust me, don't listen to me, read the material and think for yourself. I have my opinions like anybody does, but there's too many people out there trying to get you to think just what they want you to think. And that should alarm you. That's been the thing I've written under every article I've posted from the Daily Wrap-Up. There's always people out there. What does it say? I've got it right here. It says, as always, take information discussed in the video below and research it for yourself and come to your own conclusions. Anyone telling you what the truth is, or claiming they have the answer, is likely leading you astray for one reason or another. That's been there since I started the show. And that's the point, guys. This is some alarming stuff. And all the evidence is there for you to see that there's just nothing legitimate about any of this. And this will probably make you laugh out loud, because as we're watching the discussion of the U.S. government and their corporations jumping past the safety trials while screaming about how safe this thing is, here's what the New York Times wrote back in August when Russia was doing the exact same thing. This is all beyond stupid. Experts worry about Russia's rushed vaccine. Vaccines, I love this, among the safest products in the world. You just keep shouting your talking points. Despite $4 billion paid out to vaccine injury, there's plenty of other medical products that don't have $4 billion in paid out vaccine injury. So that's obviously not a real statement, but they want you to think that, sure enough. But only because of the intense rigor of the clinical trial test that their safety and effectiveness, right, the thing they're skipping right now. But see, this is what's funny, is that they'll pull out all the stops to point and say, Russia, bad guy, look at what they're doing. They're skipping phase three trials. And then not care that that contradicts what they're currently saying today about what we're doing. This is so insulting to our intelligence that they think we don't see this stuff. But here it is, August 11th. It says vaccine research in Russia is being rushed to production, even though they haven't completed phase three trials. Right. So here's the point. Yes, they're talking about Russia, but these are people in this country, the same people they're pointing to now, as you'll see, such as Johns Hopkins, who are screaming about how dangerous what they're doing is and that nobody should be okay with this. But yet right now, they're totally silent when the U.S. government does exactly that. When Vladimir Putin announced Tuesday, again, August 11th, that Russia had approved coronavirus vaccine with no evidence from large-scale trials, exactly like we're doing, vaccine experts were worried. Quote, I think it's really scary. It's really risky, said Daniel Salmon, the director of the Institute for Vaccine Safety at none other than Johns Hopkins University. So where are you at right now, Daniel? Are you not screaming about how dangerous it is that we're doing in this country? Weird that you're silent on that. Dr. Salmon and other experts said that Russia is taking a dangerous step. So again, you could very clearly take from this that they would think, based on the logic, that we're also doing that in this country. But I again point out that it's deafening the absence that they're not doing it in this country now. They're taking a dangerous step by jumping ahead of so-called phase three trials, which can determine that the vaccine works better than a placebo and doesn't cause harm. Okay, so that's why we need to do phase three. Exactly. But we didn't do it here. So we're not concerned about determining if the vaccine works better than a placebo and that doesn't cause harm? Apparently not. They're arguing that's what they did with the first one, but these are the same people arguing right now. This is a vaccine expert saying that that's what needs to happen. So what changes? Is it suddenly different when it happens in the U.S. versus Russia? Apparently. This testing typically begins before a single person has received a new vaccine, right? When researchers injected into mice or monkeys. We didn't do that at all. We 100% skipped the animal trials, which is a pretty much an obvious way to make sure that this thing potentially has some severe problems. Now, I only played this the other day because it was freezing, but I think it's important to play at least this first part again. So just bear with me for those that have already seen it. This is an important clip from RFK.
Government's been trying for almost 30 years to develop a coronavirus vaccine, and it's been unsuccessful. And beginning in 2002, there were three outbreaks of coronavirus, call them SARS, at that point in MERS. The first SARS was a natural illness jumped from a bat to human beings. The second two were lab created that escaped and infected human beings. And so the governments of China and a consortium of Western governments all got together and put millions and millions of dollars into an effort to develop a coronavirus vaccine. And between 2002 and 2012, 2014, they worked very hard to do that. And what happened is they developed about 35 vaccines. And four of them were really promising. They chose the four most promising, and they gave them to ferrets, which is the animal that is most analogous to human beings when it comes to upper lung respiratory infections. The ferrets had a brilliant, robust, and durable antibody response. But then something horrible happened. And those ferrets were challenged when they were exposed to the wild virus. They got horribly sick. They got inflammation throughout their bodies, and they died. Yeah. And the scientists remembered that something very similar had happened in the 1960s where they had developed a vaccine for RSV, which is very similar to coronavirus. It's an upper respiratory infection ailment. They had skipped the animals and given them directly to 35 children. And the children, again, had developed a very robust antibody response. But when those children were exposed to the wild virus, they got very, very sick, much sicker than unvaccinated children. Two of those kids had died. It was a scandal. And they realized when the same thing happened with the ferrets, that there was something that they called enhanced immune response. It's also called pathogenic priming. And what it means is that when you get the vaccine, it appears that you have an antibody response, but when you actually encounter the wild virus, you become much sicker. And it actually creates a pathway that that virus hurts you a lot more than with unvaccinated people. So this was 2012.
Very important. Very important clip to understand. And this is easy to back up, right? We are skipping one of the most important aspects of this trial, and that is an easy way to find out whether or not you're going to have that same problem. So they just either didn't care or want to happen. I mean, I don't know what else to think. But it says the testing typically begins before a single person with the animals. If those animals' studies turn out well, then they enlist a few dozen volunteers for phase one, in which all volunteers get the experimental vaccine. Oh, that's right. It is an experimental vaccine, but not when we're talking about it in the United States, though. Isn't that funny? How it's experimental when Russia's doing it, but when we do it, that's not experimental. You're a fake news conspiracy theorist. These people are hacks. It's so insulting how obviously these people play games and will dance back and forth and say, well, this makes sense when we're talking about bad guy Russia, but it's a complete conspiracy theory in regard to the United States government. But then it says in phase one trials, if they do not turn up serious safety problems, then they usually move to phase two, in which they inject hundreds of people and make more detailed observations. That's also skipped, right? But no matter how promising those early results, according to the New York Times, phase three trials can fail. Good. So we skipped that. So we basically did a combination of, got a bunch of people, did it at once, and didn't do anything else. Or arguably we're doing it now, and I argue it's not going to happen once they say we're all in danger. But here's the New York Times telling you that this is risky and dangerous because they didn't do it. I mean, I just can't, it's just, I just think it's so stupid that this all applies when Russia bad guy, but nothing makes sense when we're talking about us. Now, remember the clip that I played in the very beginning? The guy I'm talking about, think of them as apps for your iPhone, right? Like the virus that they can manipulate viruses to be like apps, right? This is literally what we're dealing with today. Here's what Moderna is talking about on their website in regard to the vaccine. It says, we built Moderna on the guiding premise. By the way, this is the only product they have, if using mRNA as a medicine works for one disease, it should work for many diseases. Now, this is the point. They're trying to recreate. This is James Corbett just did a big, I recommend you watch his video, The Future of Vaccines, talking about how they're trying to redesign the entire concept of how this works and driving it in a very dangerous way. It says, and if it is possible, you know, right, the point being that they don't know, and that's why they're testing it on you right now. Given the right approach and infrastructure, it could meaningfully improve how medicines are discovered. Could do horribly damaging things. Well, I guess we'll find out. Developed and manufactured. But here's the point. Recognizing the broad potential of mRNA science, we set out to create an mRNA technology platform that functions very much like an operating system on a computer. It is designed so that it can plug and play interchangeably with different programs. In our case, the program, or app, is our mRNA drug, the unique mRNA sequence that codes for a protein. Seems quite alarming to me that it sounds pretty much just like that. Now, I wasn't going to talk about this today, but I keep putting this off. I'm going to do a show eventually specifically about the idea of bioimplantables and where that seems to be going. But here's something somebody sent me a while back. Nanobot hardware architecture for medical defense. For medical defense. This was 2008. Now, right now, we're being told that the idea, what's Melinda Gates saying? There's no such thing. Ha ha ha. Guys, this has been being built forever. So that shows you how willing they are to deceive you publicly and know that you can just simply look it up and just call you a conspiracy theorist. But listen to what this says in 2008. This work presents a new approach with details in the integrated platform and hardware architecture for nanorobots, not nanoparticles, nanorobots. So small machines, the size of nanoparticles, like smart dust. Something that could be on the end of it, a little piece of Q-tip or anything else, right? For nanobots application in epidemic control. So they're literally, this is a study in regard to using nanobots to help control epidemics. 2008. Why aren't we hearing about this now, I wonder? Which should enable real-time in your body prognosis of biohazard infection. The recent developments in this field of nanoelectrics, you know, exactly what people like Moncef Salawi, Matt Hepburn, people involved with Operation Warp Speed are all outspoken about, that that's the future, and that they all were working on that right up until they kind of stopped and started working for this rushed vaccine program, which seems sort of disjointed for everything they've been doing before, unless you think that there's more coming with this program. It says, with transducers progressively shrinking down to smaller sizes through nanotechnology and carbon nanotubes, are expected to result in innovative biomedical instrumentation possibilities with new therapies and efficient diagnosis methodologies. The use of integrated systems, smart biosensors, like the kind of Perfusa injectable, and programmable nano devices are advancing nanoelectrics, enabling the progressive research and development of molecular machines. Right? We have people like Klaus Schwab telling us that we need to begin to basically combine our biological and our technological identities. That wasn't really an analogy. That was seeming, this is a statement. This is the transhumanist idea of what this is all leading toward.
Government's been trying for almost 30 years to develop
a... Son of a gun.
What the fourth industrial revolution will lead to is a fusion of our physical, our digital, and our biological identities.
Seems pretty revealing. There's a lot, I mean, Moncef Salawi's talked about this. They're adamant about it. It says it should provide high precision, persuasive biomedical monitoring with real time data transmission from your body. The use of nanobioelectrics as embedded systems is the natural pathway towards manufacturing methodology to achieve nanobot applications out of laboratories sooner as possible. Seems like a weird way to say that. To demonstrate the practical application of medical nanorobotics, a 3D simulation based on clinical data addresses how to integrate communication with nanorobots using RFID, mobile phones, satellites, being applied to long-distance ubiquitous surveillance and health monitoring for troops, of course, in conflict zones. That's always what it's about, but they'll make sure we test it on you first, just like they have in the past. Therefore, the current model can also be used to prevent and save a population against the case of some targeted epidemic disease. Okay, so if this was a breaking thing that was happening, and obviously we're talking about real-time monitoring, we're talking about contact tracing and predictive medical, you know, medical pre-crime scenarios, is it not possible this is something that's currently happening that we don't know about? Yes, it is possible. Do I know that for sure? No, I don't. Have they done stuff like this in the past? Yes, they have. So as always, I leave it for you to think about it and come to your own conclusions. But guys, this is alarming stuff. And the fact that this is, ha ha ha, there's no such thing, kind of shows you what you need to know here. Just to make the point even more clear, because it's important to, where was that? This is a kind of a chilling little clip.
Soon, cells will be precisely programmed.
Viruses can be reprogrammed. They're essentially software. Think of them as apps for your cell phone.
And coding with DNA will no longer be just for expensive laboratories, but also for home use.
Come check out where CRISPR kits are being made.
So apps for your cell phone. So I said iPhone. But so that's, so if viruses can be reprogrammed, so if we know that people like Charles Lieber were working on literally nanorobotic virus mimicking technology, and he's just been kind of shuttled away, and who knows? Something around all of this topic is clearly involved in what's happening here. That's my opinion. I think the evidence seems to point to that. But all of this seems to come together, and if we know that this stuff can be mimicked and manipulated, we need to ask whether that's playing a part in what we're dealing with today. And the fact that we're just, like, not allowed to ask these questions says a lot. You're so stupid, you conspiracy theorist. They said that about 100 other things that have turned out to be very real. And of course, were shown to be real in the face of the people that knew they were real as they said they were fake, right? Typically, the people that are the loudest screaming you down because you're such a fake conspiracy theorist are the people that very clearly know that's not the case. There's plenty of examples in our history. Well, here's an interesting post. It says, and this is just reiterating what I've been pointing out, and this is accurate. Moderna has never successfully produced a medicine of any kind. produced. Established in 2010, it has never brought a product to market, nor gotten any of its nine or so vaccine candidates approved by the FDA. It also never brought a product to the third and final phase of a clinical trial. And guess what? It still hasn't. Moderna's scientific approach to vaccine development has never been successfully implemented in humans. Maybe there's a reason they don't want to get it that far. Maybe there's a reason they failed every time. Maybe it's the reason they were so desperate for the emergency use authorization. Think about it. The company's insiders have made high-profile exits from their stock positions. And I pointed this out in regard to a couple of them. That they're you would think this would be one of the big... I mean, even Gates has said this is one of the most profitable things he's ever done. And yet people involved with what's supposed to be one of the most groundbreaking new vaccine medical technologies are selling their stock before it actually explodes? That's not a good sign. The CEO, chief medical officer, and the chief technical officer, president, and chief medical officer of Moderna, all of them have sold tens of millions of dollars of the company's stock over the last 5 months in a slew of pre-planned trades. I mean, so they think about how revealing that is. Could this be a sign they don't have confidence in the company's future stock price? It certainly could be. But as it says, hi, I'm Tal Zaks. We've talked about Tal Zaks before. He's the one that admitted on the record that the reason they didn't even attempt to have it reduce transmission, which is what they sold it to everybody as, is because they didn't get paid enough, right? They said, well, if we wanted to do that, we needed more money for a bigger trial. So ask your government. So our government made the choice to not try to reduce transmission. How do you not see that? He says, I'm Tal Zaks. I received my doctorate from Ben-Gurion University in Israel and served in the Israel Defense Forces. Now based in the USA, I'm chief medical officer at Moderna, responsible for the development of our COVID-19 vaccine. Enjoy your shot. You know, some good history to understand. Well, there's plenty of examples of some pretty severe side effects, regardless of what they want to tell you. This is just a clip from a video that's pointing these out, but listen, just kind of rattling these off like it's common knowledge.
But a few reports of elders dying either hours or days after getting the vaccine are raising questions about the Pfizer vaccine's safety. In Sweden, an 85-year-old man with pre-existing conditions died of a heart attack a day after getting the shot. In Israel, two elderly men died within 2 hours of getting it. And in Switzerland, a 91-year-old man died 5 days after getting vaccinated. According to these reports, both Swiss and Israeli healthcare workers have said that some of these deaths don't appear linked to the vaccine, or that it's highly unlikely they are, citing a history of health problems.
As
Pfizer
always.
Sent condolences.
Isn't that an interesting reveal right there? Oh, well, they've got a history of health problems, so it's not the vaccine. But if you die with a history of health problems and they say it's COVID-19, well, that's not a factor. It's not because of the health problems, it's because of COVID-19. That's called hypocrisy. That's called a double standard. And that's what they're doing right now in every single possible way around COVID-19, right? So if somebody dies after the vaccine, it's not the vaccine. But if somebody dies after a test of COVID, well, then it's COVID no matter what. Double standard. It shows you that they're erring on the side of this is safe no matter what when they want to. And then in the other regard, they want to err on the side of, I mean, you know, you get the point. They're obviously playing a double standard here. There's clearly things happening. Look, in all those cases, we're going to go over them. They're claiming that there's something else or they died from something that we can't prove that it's from the vaccine. Right. So that's certainly true. But it doesn't mean you just ignore them because, well, people die. Oh, but they're old, so they just died. A day after they get this, they have a heart attack. Well, it's because he was 56. That's not how you play. They are obviously manipulating everybody. Very reassuring. Don't worry, though, because even though all these are happening, India's drug regulator tells you that the injection's 110% safe. Because that's very reassuring. 110! Really? Like, I mean, this 100%'s dumb, but saying 110, it's showing you how aggressive they're desperate. It says India is fighting to dispel rumors that two newly approved coronavirus vaccines can cause erectile dysfunction. But the country's drug regulator may have overdone it by saying that it's more than 100% effective. That's just embarrassing. They have a mandate, which is to tell you it's safe no matter what. But yes, overzealous indeed. But there's plenty of examples of this continuing to happen. That's strange. There it goes. Scared to death. Boston doctor suffers severe allergic reaction after Moderna's vaccine. December 26th. Uh-oh, if it's not from this literal day, does that mean it's fake news? No, clearly, we're talking about this point today, so because it's December 26th, it's relevant. See how that quick deductive logic works? Smart people. That's why you're in this chat. Scared to death. Boston doctor just suffers severe allergic reaction after this vaccine. It says a U.S. doctor with a shellfish allergy. Oh, so we can just dismiss everything then. Right? But they're continuing to point, oh, well, they have a history of allergic reactions. Okay, so if they're continuing to scream about how people with a history of allergic reactions should not get this, why do we continue to see health officials do it with allergic history? That either means that they don't actually have allergic history and they're just saying that so they don't make you seem like this is a severe thing, or they're doing it anyway, which is stupid, which is the same idea of having pregnant women who are nurses do it and say, I'm doing it for my baby. That's child abuse. There's no evidence that this is safe for a child. And they overtly point that out. We have not tested the safety in regard to pregnant women, lactating individuals, etc. We just read it to you. But because they're brainwashed about scientism and the vaccine, you know, gospel, then it's good no matter what. But he's saying he suffered a severe allergic reaction on Christmas Eve after receiving the vaccine from Moderna. It says it's not uncommon for a vaccine or any drug to result in side effects. Thank you for letting us know that, because nobody were confused about that. Like this, they want, that's a statement to make you think, don't worry, these things happen all the time. Not like this, not in the way that we're seeing. And that's simply, and there's, look, whether you disagree with that or not, there are experts, including that we just showed you a very prominent French expert who is saying, this is crazy. These are way too severe and way too many. But I guess he's just an anti-science, anti-vaccine fringe conspiracy theorist, right? It's not uncommon for a vaccine or any drug to result in side effects, they say. Health Canada says most of the side effects from Moderna's vaccine are expected to be mild and should not last very long. But that doesn't seem to be what we're seeing. This doctor, mispronounced his name, a geriatric oncologist at Boston Medical Center said he started feeling dizzy and his heart began racing soon after getting the shot. Now listen to how just alarming this sounds in general. He says, my heart rate was 150. My normal heart rate is 75. But 6-7 minutes after the injection of the vaccine, I felt my tongue and also my throat having like some weird sensation of tingling and numbness. The same reaction that I had before my shellfish allergy. He says, as his blood pressure dropped, he decided to use his personal EpiPen. Which, by the way, I don't know why in the world that makes sense, because you don't even know if that's actually what's happening. So this is causing an allergic reaction to something. Like, the point is, are you allergic to something in the vaccine? Or is there shellfish in the vaccine? Like, it doesn't make sense, in which I'll show you another doctor makes the same claim. He says point blank, unless you're allergic to something in this vaccine, that you won't have an allergic reaction. Now, he could be wrong. He could be lying. He could be misguided. But it's interesting to see that they're arguing that, well, it's just, you know, your normal run-of-the-mill allergic reactions. Doesn't seem to be the case. But it says that he had brought he brought out the EpiPen, and then he was rushed to the emergency room. He told the Boston Globe that it was, quote, the worst allergic reaction he had experienced as an adult. Yeah, but no big deal, though. You know, just normal stuff. Hamilton, PSW, suffers rare, but severe reaction to COVID-19. This is another one, even more alarming. This is January 2nd. Uh-oh. January 2nd. He says, what happened in the minutes after Tilly rolled up her sleeve for the Pfizer biotech vaccine on Christmas Eve has her cautioning those with allergies ahead of getting the jab. Again, all of these discussions are being couched in the idea that, well, it's because they've got allergies. So why are any of them doing this if they've been clear that people with allergies shouldn't do it? If that's the case, shouldn't they be asking these people, do you have allergies? And if so, then you shouldn't take this. But here's what's interesting. They did ask that, and they did it anyway. Says, quote, I thought I was doing the right thing. And here's the gross part, is that's what these people are being manipulated into thinking. Well, they're doing what they should. They're being a good citizen. So she thought she was doing the right thing. And the way she responds to this whole process actually could have risked, they could have taken her life from her, because she was afraid to admit that she was having a problem. Because this, even her personal reaction is seen as like fake news in regard to the mainstream topic, right? So if she has a bad reaction, suddenly she's the problem. Take a listen to how this goes. She's a personal support worker at a specific care center, which is currently an outbreak with 2 cases in staff. Oh, it's an outbreak. So that means 2 people who got a PCR test with symptoms or not and were told that they were sick. Outbreak. She did it especially for her residents at her work. Tilly, 27, is one of the... Remember, 27, meaning statistically speaking, she has 0 chance. According to the CDC, but who cares, is one of the rare people, clearly it's rare, right? those 100 examples, totally rare, who have had a severe reaction to the vaccine. Not rare at all, in fact. And a week later, she's still not fully recovered. So the 3 days in bed doesn't seem to be adding up. We have people that are weeks in their bed, and wait till we get to the last example. It says, quote, some can be allergic. Some may not be allergic, but can still be a severe reaction, according to the doctor. Last Thursday, Tilly was getting ready to be vaccinated. She said she filled out the consent forms on which she listed her severe allergy to bee stings. So she said, I have a history of allergic reactions. And they let her do it anyway. Does that not show you something? That even their experts and Pfizer themselves are saying, no, you shouldn't take this if you've got a history of allergic reactions. Are they not informing the people around the world? Are they not telling the nurses? Are the doctors in the hospitals not know? What's happening here? I think it's pretty clear that they don't care. That it's about getting the most people and the most amount in the fastest possible time to get this vaccine injected. At least one, right? I was supposed to get two, but they're already talking about breaking it up and giving more people less. However they can get the most people injected with this possible. Which seems to challenge the idea that you need a certain amount and two times of it. But now it's like, no, just half it. And then give one person the extra one now. And we'll do it later. We'll get to it. I showed you an example yesterday. Operation Warp Speed's already talking about changing what they're doing, about getting it out as fast as possible. Does that sound scientific? I don't even trust what they're saying the science is from Pfizer. But even their information is saying this is how much you need. And they're going to just change that because we need to get it out to everyone as fast as possible. There's something very alarming happening here. Especially as we know the UK is talking about allowing people to have one or the other. So if you come in and get Pfizer, next 2 weeks later, you can come back and get the Moderna one. But that doesn't make any sense because they weren't tested together. They're different companies. Even though they're attempting to do the same thing, it does not make sense. And there's no science to it. Even their own experts said this is wholly unscientific. He said they're trying to guess their way out of a mess with your body. But that's totally okay. So we're going to let you mix and match and kind of just make it work as it will. As somebody pointed out, that seems to suggest that all the real goal is to get whatever one can, you know, whatever the ingredient that's the same in all of these things, whatever that is, seems to be the aim to get it inside your body. However they can. Because it doesn't make sense you could just skip to something else from a different company unless there was some kind of correlation, some kind of tie-in with all of them. But it says, last Thursday, Tilly was getting ready to be vaccinated. She filled out the consent forms, listed her allergy to bee stings. A nurse asked about the allergy and whether or not she had an EpiPen. Okay, so as long as you've got an EpiPen in case you almost die, then we'll give you this vaccine. But nothing further was mentioned. That's negligence. These people should be charged. This is crazy. Soon after, Tilly said she was vaccinated in her right arm and she was sent to a room down the hall where people were asked to wait 15 minutes in case of a reaction. So, you know, that doesn't, I mean, last time I had a vaccine when I was, a kid, or I remember seeing, I mean, that was a long time ago. I remember hating the idea of it. I remember my brother getting one, but I remember in any case, and geez, this must have been when I was quite little, but I don't remember having to sit around and wait. Maybe I'm just remembering wrong. But nonetheless, it seems to suggest that they're aware that there are reactions in quite a large degree. So they want to keep them there to wait and see what happens. Quote, that's where I started to feel really not good, she said. Tilly said she began to feel lightheaded. Then she felt a scratch in her throat. Now, right at this moment, as a person with a history of allergic reaction, and just simply the idea that you don't know what you're feeling, and you know you just got injected with something, that should be immediately. Something's wrong. I feel something weird. Guys, I don't know what's going on. But because she's afraid to protect, to say that there's something wrong, because it's like frowned upon that this is totally safe. Don't be a conspiracy theorist. She brushed it off. She brushed it off as nerves, she said. Tilly tried to distract herself with her phone. She could have died because of that. And quote, look at things in a more positive way. So she said, yeah, I feel really bad and I'm starting to get an allergic reaction, but I want to be positive because I don't want the media to say I'm a conspiracy theorist. Unable to ignore her symptoms any longer, Tilly approached a paramedic and explained how she was feeling. Then the paramedic took her vitals and gave her Benadryl and insisted that she just stay there. She says if it wasn't for that one paramedic, she probably would have died. But no, it was because she got up and grabbed somebody and said, I feel weird. So she did that. But she says because she wouldn't be here today or something might have happened because she wanted to leave. She didn't want to deal with this. She says she didn't want to check out. She didn't want to get checked out. She didn't want to be, she didn't want there to be a big scene regarding this. That's her quote. So she was more willing to risk her life than to admit that this wasn't working out the way that they said it would. How sick is that? This is what the mainstream propaganda is doing to these people. It says, after taking the Benadryl, Tilly said she felt better momentarily, but then within minutes, her symptoms came back even stronger. The paramedics then gave her an EpiPen, and that's when things started to go downhill. Yeah, clearly the EpiPen worked well. They are guessing, guys. They are guessing. They don't know what... This is so off the rails, and you are putting your life at risk by continuing to try this and continuing to placate people that believe it. The feeling Tilly felt the next is something she still can't explain, but it caused her to lean to the right and pass out in the chair. Interesting, sort of like we've seen other people. You know, we saw a nurse pass out. We saw plenty of things happen here. It says the mother of two would wake up in the hospital hours later, dazed and confused and unaware of where she was. The lights in the room looked like they were spinning and Tilly felt, quote, completely out of her mind. Totally rare and not severe, though. Tilly said once she was fully awake, the doctor told her she had suffered seizures. And for a brief moment, she needed CPR. Right, this is the totally rare, like this is the thing. And realize that this nurse, whoever that just allowed this to happen anyway, on top of this experimental dangerous injection, it's just, nothing makes any sense here other than making sure that at all costs, this thing goes in your arm. Still feeling some brain fog, Tilly said she doesn't remember much of the reaction, but can recollect the moments, get this, where this is so insulting. And I don't understand, I don't see a quote here other than consequences. This is what this article is making sure you understand. Still feeling brain fog from her brush with death due to the negligence and incompetence of these people mixed with a dangerous injection. She said she doesn't remember much of how it all went down, but of course she does still remember the moment where she accepted what was happening and that there could be consequences. So it's her fault because she signed a piece of paper that says, I accept the dangerous things that happen, even though I wasn't fully informed of what could possibly happen. I mean, I wanted to throw up when I saw that. Thank you, article, for shoehorning in where I doubt she actually said, but I remember, the only thing I can remember is where I signed the document that said, I know there's consequences, so it's my fault, or however you want to frame that. It's disgusting. Informed consent must be met before you can then claim that it's on us to decide whether we take our chances with this. People are not being informed about what's actually happening. She says, I kind of just lost hope for that period of time. But this is for your best interest, guys. This is all about your health and safety, though. Can't you tell? It says, the doctor said anytime someone has an adverse reaction to a vaccine, even ones that are given regularly. Sorry, I want to make sure I don't highlight the part. I don't want to miss when I highlight it. There we go. She says, even ones given regularly, once reported, public health follows up with them and does a thorough investigation. Now, this doctor did, I mean, assuming he did, but let's not take at face value that all of these doctors right now are following up and reporting and investigating every single adverse reaction. I find that impossible to believe. One, because they don't want to believe this thing is dangerous. So when somebody's got, I don't know, they pass out, or have some kind of severe reaction in their arm, they're just going, yeah, that's common. That's common stuff. But realize what he's saying right there. Anytime they're supposed to has an adverse reaction of any kind, even ones given regularly, they're supposed to report it and follow up with an investigation. Does anybody believe that's happening right now? In fact, I know as a matter of fact that it's not, because you can look at the place they're reporting them to and there's not that as many as we're seeing. Quote, this is unlikely to be related to her allergy, he says, the doctor, adding that the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine does not contain any components of bee venom. The doctor also said if someone is not allergic to a component, having a previous allergy, quote, doesn't increase your risks of having a reaction. But that's literally the opposite of what Pfizer's saying. That's the opposite of what all of these entities are putting forward. And I would say the opposite of what the evidence is showing us, unless it comes down to the fact that it has nothing to do with previous allergies. And these are just normal, healthy people who are having the expected reaction from this experimental rushed injection. Now, I want to make clear, too, that just on a side point here, that I've said this a million times in the past. I mean, as always with these topics, if what we know about vaccine science is correct, which is a huge if, as always should be today, I don't know what why so many things we shouldn't be trusting from these same authority figures. But taking that at face value, if the science of the last 100 years is correct, if that's the case, I believe that there is logic behind how these vaccines are produced. But I believe that the intent behind them is not there. I believe that there's things like the regulatory capture of the FDA and the CDC and our nefarious, sinister governments out in the world, in all of them for that matter. I mean, Russia, China, the United States, UK, these governments are all authoritarian, manipulative governments that are trying to use anything, use you, use the situations in the world to drive in their agendas. And sometimes that means playing the good guy. Even the US does that. But all of these are out for themselves. And I think that's very, very clear. But I wanted people to understand that the science arguably makes sense. But when you add into that a person or an entity that, you know, let's say they remove liability to where they're no longer concerned about being held liable for dangerous things that happen, well, you could decide to go, well, let's cut that last part there because, you know, we've just demonstrated that it's safe. That last part would just make sure that it is. So let's just cut that because we already know that it's safe and we're not going to be held liable anyway. So do it. You know those things are happening. As somebody in the chat's pointing out, PEG, which we keep mentioning, polyethylene glycol, which is absolutely causing this is what even now Pfizer and these people are acknowledging. By the way, that's both present in Moderna and Pfizer's vaccine. 70% of people, even according to Wikipedia, 72%, potentially have reactions with this to where basically your body starts attacking itself. No one seems to care about that. And even now they're admitting it. But the point back to this is that right now we're seeing this happen at a time when I do not believe the people behind this care at all about your safety. And by the people like Robert Kadlec, who is the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness Response, he's the sole person involved behind the Strategic National Stockpile. He is one of the most guilty entities involved with the anthrax manipulation. They knowingly pushed out a vaccine that wasn't tested properly, that they knew had negative effects, and lied and pushed it on the military and hurt people. That was found in a court of law. But yet he's currently in that position, right? These are the people involved with the intent behind all of this. So whether they're experimenting or anything else, which, by the way, our own government, the U.S. government, has admitted to experimenting on unwitting individuals, both foreign and abroad, over 239 times. That's on record. That's Operation Sea Spray is a good example of testing something, a biological entity over San Francisco, which killed people to just see how vulnerable we were to that kind of an attack. I'm sure those families are really thankful for that. Right. But, you know, but I'm a anti-American for pointing out the facts. The truth is that anybody not willing to point out these facts are the actual anti-Americans, because it's quintessentially American, as always, to point out how your government is lying and cheating and stealing. In fact, remember, that's how this country began. But all the sycophants out there that are blindly supportive of a government as opposed to the country are the real anti-American people out there today. Heroes actually have the courage to stand against the pressure. That's everywhere today. Swiss nursing home resident reportedly dies after getting COVID-19 vaccine. The nursing home resident in Switzerland, who was among the first in the country to be vaccinated against COVID-19, later died. But of course, officials did not indicate whether the death was related to the jab, and we'll just completely move past it and act like we just don't know, so it can't count at all. Except when we just don't know, and for COVID, it's COVID, of course, because it's for your safety. We're going to err on the side of caution for your safety. But with vaccines, we're going to err on the side of not caution, because we know they're safe. Makes sense, right? The resident who received the coronavirus vaccine on Christmas Eve had previously reacted negatively to the flu shot. So even here again, they have a history of knowing these reactions are present and gave it to him anyway. But no one's going to care about that because we're conspiracy theorists, right? The person who had dementia complained, and this is an interesting part in regard to the UNESCO document, right? Where they clearly state that people who cannot give their own consent need to be, they give the whoever is their, you know, has their power of attorney or however you want to look at it, has to give their consent for them. But I argue that probably didn't happen here. I can't say for sure, but I do know that it happens on a regular basis. And that the UN and the international law states very clearly that we have the right to refuse consent, to give consent and to remove consent at any time for any reason without repercussions, without any kind of restriction. That's according to international law from the UN, but who cares? Because danger, because fear, right? As well as the fact that it clearly states that your interests as a human being are more important than that of the collective society and that of science collectively. It says that right on the international document, but of course it doesn't matter because fear, because danger. It says on Monday, the facility did not report the patient's worsening condition. Good. Okay, good. So they gave him an injection of an experimental vaccine, or, you know, I would argue just an experimental injection, just call it that, because it's not a vaccine. This is not vaccine science. They gave him this thing, knowing he had a history of reactions with previous vaccines. Then he got sick, and then they just said, well, we'll just wait and see what happens. Why? We could possibly assume it's because of the similar thing like with this woman, where they said, well, we don't want to say there's bad things happening from the vaccine because we'll be called conspiracy theorists, or we don't want to be the person that we know it's safe. Or if we report how dangerous this is, then that's going to undermine the safety and it's going to be vaccine hesitancy. People are brainwashed. And guess what? The guy died because they didn't want to say anything. The following day, the doctor was informed, but he died right after that. Imagine if on Monday they had actually said, uh-oh, right away, right after the injection, he's getting sick. Let's do something because we're doctors and we should care. Nope, they just put him in his bed and said, let's come back tomorrow and follow up. And he died right after the doctor saw him because they didn't tell him until the next day. On top of that, as we know, in Israel, we just reported, a 75-year-old man also died after receiving COVID-19 vaccination. But his death was said to be from a heart attack, believed to be unrelated. Totally, right? So you get an injection, the next day you have a heart attack, and it's just total coincidence, though. Why? Because, well, the prevalence of heart attacks is about the same as we're seeing in the vaccine trial. That's what they keep doing. That could be the case, but it also could not be. And they don't care to find out. The unidentified man got the Pfizer shot at 8:30 a.m. on Monday within hours. Lost consciousness, died at home. So it looks like the same day. Same day. But yeah, you know, so he loses consciousness hours after getting the vaccine, then has a heart attack, but the heart attack was just a normal occurrence, though. Anybody believe that? The history of them deceiving us about these things is unbearable. Of course, but it would never happen today, right? Because my guard, my party, my president, blah, blah, blah. It's pretty naive to think so. But thank you to CLP for sharing this clip. So I had to actually hunt this down because there wasn't a link. As always, guys, please, everybody, the internet, please share the link with anything you're sharing. Please. Because it would have frustrated me if I couldn't find this. And the point to give the link, because look, sharing just this photo doesn't do anybody any, I shouldn't say that. I appreciate the share. But it doesn't help people who want to prove and verify that this is not some manipulated content. Right? But thank you for sharing it. And here's the point. I had to track this down. Carl Duncan. This is interesting because this is how it starts. Actually, hold on. I remembered that you can't see. One second. Let me adjust this for you guys really quickly. I remembered that the screen was cut off on the writing. There we go. There we are. Okay. So just so you guys can see, I mean, you could see most of it anyway, but let's go through this. It says, well, after a lot of my own research and talking to doctors, I have decided that I would make history and get the vaccine. You see, this is how it's being framed, right? Manipulating these people. The risks outweigh, and this is funny because he meant to say the opposite, but what he said is actually accurate. The risks outweigh the risks of COVID, and I want to make sure I can protect my family. What he meant to say was the risks of COVID outweigh the risk of the vaccine, but he said the opposite. You know, so funny he said the truth, to be honest, because that's what the facts are showing us. But of course, because he's been convinced by people who either are parroting what they were told or don't care about the facts, that it's about protecting his family. So even though I hate needles with a passion, he got the vaccine, he says. If anyone has any questions about it, please feel free to reach out. He also figured since Jason Osborne is alive, you see how they used famous people, who knows if he actually even got this, is alive and hasn't grown a third arm, that it was good. Right, you know, a month later. But let's see how what happens after a couple of years. Hoping I don't lose my hair like him. Ha ha ha. Oh, it's so funny, right? I mean, it's nice that he's in good spirits, but here's what actually happened. Okay, so jumping forward, so this is 2 days ago. This was back on December 26th. As of today, I understand that this is still happening. It says, so for those who haven't heard, or to update the people that have heard, there's an update. Or here's an update. December 26th, he got the vaccine. That later that day started to have a mild fever. Just the next day. And so from 27th to the 28th, he developed a high fever up to 104. Then on the 29th, he went to the ER where they ran tests and nothing was found. Why? Because it's not anything other than the vaccine causing this to happen in his body. It says, told to keep resting and alternating Tylenol and ibuprofen. Oh, good times, because that's going to help. All right, so just, you know, take a bunch of this so you don't notice what's happening to your body. High fever still on December 30th and weakened and weakness and headaches. Okay, so now we are 4 days past this and it's still getting worse. December 31st. By the way, this is from, you know, at the day after Christmas. December 31st. Then he finally checks into St. Francis and later that night admitted into the hospital. So basically, got the first dose of the COVID vaccine and my immune system is fighting and having a reaction to it. Oh, weird. You mean exactly like we keep telling you, most people will probably have a risk of having happened to them? Yeah. No one has any other answers. And this is what's so stupid is we have plenty of answers. I'm not saying we know as a matter of fact, but you're telling me that the doctors there don't know the same material that we see? That people like Dr. Lyons Wheeler are pointing to the problems and sent them documentation before we got here, and yet they're baffled and don't know what's going on, and yet Pfizer and Moderna have already admitted that the likely culprit right now is polyethylene glycine. I'm trying to remember it off the top of my head. PEG, polyethylene glycine. Nah, I'm saying it wrong. Let me get it real quick so I don't forget. But you know, it's a polyethylene glycol. I just said it too. That's crazy. But so it's incredible to see that we're baffled. We don't know what's going on. But he sent this material. They're admitting that PEG is in both of these vaccines, and they, in their own words, quote, the possible culprit. But they have no answers. That's called the controlling of information. No one has any answers in order to tell me differently. And everybody's body reacts all different. Right? That's what they're telling him. That's just a normal thing. And, you know, sometimes people just react differently. It's been a rough week, he said, thanks to the numerous amount of people who have reached out. I've just been resting to get better and back to normal soon. Yeah, we sure hope so. But I think this is not a good sign for the long-term side effects if this happens right afterward. I'll make another post when I finally get discharged from the hospital. Feel free to FaceTime me. That's the easiest way to communicate. Today's one of the first days I'm doing a little better, and I've been able to eat, so that's good. Okay, so all the way until the third, well, this is 2 days ago, right? So we're in January 2nd, and he's still in the hospital. He hasn't been able to eat up until now, apparently. And this is supposed to be normal. It just kills me that this is being dangerously downplayed. And when I mean dangerously, I mean like in such an alarming fashion that they're knowingly putting people at risk. I just can't believe how incredibly obvious that is. But don't forget, Operation Warp Speed is considering having the COVID-19 vaccine to accelerate inoculation campaign, right? Of course, because they've already deemed that there's a certain amount that needs to be given. I'm not saying, again, I trust what they're saying. I'm saying this is their narrative. They're saying, here's how much you need. And without that much, you won't, you know, I've read this. They're already saying it has to be a certain amount and it has to be in two increments, 21 days apart or 28, depending on which vaccine. And that has to happen or otherwise you're not going to get the right response and so on, right? But because they're being accused of not doing it fast enough, despite this being Operation Warp Speed, that's never been done this fast before, but it's not fast enough this time. They're talking about having the amount and giving it to people. Apparently just to get it in your body, however they can. And let's not forget that this is Trump's Operation Warp Speed, and Trump is still the president. So for all those people that were screaming all this time that it was some 4D chess move, and it's all about tricking them and exposing their hand, it's already happening. Right? What are you going to say to the 4.33 million people that have already been injected with that thing? that Trump was just playing a 4D chess move and that he mixed it up or he failed? I mean, what's the excuse? What's the answer? There's not one, other than realizing that it's all part of the same effort, whether he realized it or not. On top of that, we have New York Governor Cuomo threatening hospitals, threatening them with fines, hundreds of thousands of dollars of fines if they don't vaccinate at maximum capacity. So if the majority of the people in this country, which you've already seen both in the UK and the United States, have said they don't want to take this thing, at some point, they're not going to be able to. So then they're going to be manipulating people to do it so they can avoid $100,000 fines. But that obviously is the point. Hospitals that don't use up their supply, I guess that's just regardless of whether there's people that want them, of vaccines for COVID-19, within a week, not only just eventually, but they have to use them within a week of receiving them. If they don't do that, they'll be punished with hefty fines and even barred from receiving further doses, which to me sounds like a fantastic thing, but that's not what these hospitals want. And of course, there's a lot of money involved in all of this. Governor Cuomo has declared this as a, you know, just a mandate, because these are authoritarian leaders now that can just make statements and people have to follow. The governor warned hospitals that failed to deploy the vaccine stocks within a week, which it's like, what are they arguing? That they're hiding them or that they're trying to hold them back? I mean, this is really alarming and weird because they're the ones trying to get this out. But it's almost like he's acting like the hospitals are intentionally trying to keep this from going out. All this is doing is creating the illusion there's two things, actually. I would argue the whole effort here has been trying to create an illusion of scarcity to make it seem like there's not enough. But on top of it, what this seems like to me is creating a drive to light a fire behind the hospital to get them to do everything they can to get these things out. And you can believe that the administrator will put pressure on everybody to push these out. They don't want to pay $100,000 or even more than that. It says up to $100,000. But also be cut out of the future vaccine distribution, which means more money and everything else to go along with it. He has repeatedly criticized the rollout of the vaccine as too slow. Right. So the fastest ever rollout of an experimental injection, but it's too slow. Of course, they're talking about once it's ready and then how they've executed it. But it all comes down to just making sure they get this thing out as fast as possible. To rush something out is the opposite of safe. Right, so you've gotten this out as quick as possible, at the fastest ever making a vaccine or whatever you want to call it. That's the rush. But the idea of trying to rush this, get it in arms as quick as possible. Here, you can go to the bar. Here, you can get over here at Waffle House or whatever these weird things we're seeing are. The bar is the one where they say, go to the bar. We'll give you vaccinated and you get a commemorative beer. Yeah, getting an experimental injection at a bar sounds really legit, but that's what they're doing. That's not safe. What they're doing is rushing this out in unsafe ways. That adds to the point. It continues to add to the illusion. It says the governor has also threatened anyone who attempts to jump the line and receive an early vaccine with $1 million fine. Is anybody out there trying to jump the line? With most people not wanting it, there is plenty available. But they don't want you to think that. They want you to think, well, geez, everyone's getting this. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I should rush out and get it. If he's fining $1 million, maybe everyone's trying to get it. They think we're 6 years old. That is basic level. Like, this person is bad at trying to play this game. He volunteered to wait until Black and Hispanic New Yorkers received their shots before getting his, while observing not white New Yorkers died at a much higher rate. And again, back to the Off-Guardian article. They're pushing this on the most vulnerable despite never actually testing on those people. Right? As it says here, so far, 300,000 vaccine doses have been administered in New York. Elderly care home residents and frontline workers are the first groups to receive the jab, even though they tested on only 39 elderly people, none of which had comorbidities, and despite that being the vast, vast, vast majority of who's actually dying. But we're all crazy, and they're the ones that know, and we should just blindly do what they say. Because they care about our elderly, right? They care about the lives of these people, don't they? Well, let's find out. Here's what the UK is doing. This is probably one of the most sickening things I've seen in a long time. Condemned by a care pathway. Again, elderly patients are still given do not resuscitate orders against their or their family's wishes, as this 93-year-old's horrific experience reveals. This is pretty sickening. So this is the person. So I'm just gonna, I want you to see this person as we go through this. So this story is pretty unbelievable. So as it says, a knock on the door was the first time Lucy realized the National Health Service had plans for her death. She had just enjoyed an early lunch of two lamb chops and roast potatoes when she was disturbed by an unexpected visitor soon after midday. She got up from her favorite chair to let the man she had never seen before into her three-bedroom South London council flat. He was a local nurse who wanted to talk about my future health care, she said. He said that I should not be brought back to life if my heart failed me. I felt the NHS wanted to put me to sleep. He point blank told her that we shouldn't bring you back. Lucy, at 93, was rightfully upset when the man left just after over an hour of her home. She actually cried. The next morning, a brown envelope dropped through her letterbox. The next day, so first of all, I would argue it was probably already on the way, Lucy opened it to find an A4-sized notice with a stark red border. It stated that she should not be resuscitated by doctors, nurses, or emergency paramedics or ambulance crews if her heart stops. The alarming notice, which, by the way, is designed to be placed in your home on display. So they want her to put this big, bright red labeled thing on her wall that says, "Don't save me if I'm hurting." It was signed by the same nurse, a, quote, frailty nursing practitioner, who made the surprise visit to her. She told me, quote, this is her speaking to the article or to the outlet, "I was shocked that the NHS won't save me. If I collapse, they're refusing to put me together again." Quote, "I feel like putting on my coat," that she felt like putting on her coat that minute and throwing herself over the Lambeth Bridge into the Thames. It was only the thought of her two sons, her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren that stopped her doing such a terrible thing. I mean, the sickening way that we deal with elderly people in our society, it unnerves me more than you know. Coming from, you know, my family alone or just parts of my heritage or the idea that we are, the way that you are meant to respect your elders in the sense that they have lived more than you have, that they know things, not as a guaranteed rule. There's plenty of stupid elderly people, like there's stupid anybody out there, people that don't know much or haven't learned much. But by and large, people who have lived an entire life could probably teach you something. And that's how it's supposed to be, that they're the ones that are guiding the youth, but that doesn't happen today. We shove them in corners, we put them in homes, and we forget about them because it's been acceptable by our society to act like they're no longer valuable. And that's exactly where this new Great Reset World Economic Forum future is leading to. And that's what you're seeing here. It says, Lucy is a remarkable person. She goes out to get the newspaper from, now remember, the idea is that she's too frail to go on. Here's the truth. She goes out to get the newspaper from the local store every morning at 8. Off at 93 years old. I hope that I'm still this versatile and that's not the best word for it. I'm still this active when I'm 93 years old. Often, she walks or catches the bus to buy her favorite lamb chops at Tesco in Kennington, just over a mile away. And it is a rare afternoon when she does not step out again, traveling at some speed along the pavements with her four-wheel shopping trolley, as you can see there. Her active life is recorded in the NHS letter that was sent with a red-bordered poster, which officially named a Do Not Resuscitate order. The letter says that Lucy takes regular walks, has no problem with falls, lives independently, has not lost weight, enjoys reading and knitting, has a good memory, and is visited often by her supportive family. It says all of this in the order. Signed by the nurse and an elderly care consultant after less than 24 hours at nearby Guy's and St. Thomas Hospital, the letter adds that she has a number of ailments entirely common in old people. They include type 2 diabetes, controlled with pills, which she remembers to take. She is also slightly deaf, using one hearing aid in her right ear to answer the phone, and her cataracts, rheumatism, and thinning bones, although her blood pressure is normal for her age group. The same letter says that on the NHS, and the NHS's clinical frailty scale of 1, being very fit, to 9, which is terminally ill, used to assess the elderly by nurses, she scores a 3. According to the NIH website, this means that Lucy is, quote, managing well. People whose medical problems are well controlled, but not regularly active beyond routine walking. Which raises the obvious question. Why on earth was this sprightly, contended old lady given a do not resuscitate order. The letter explains that following Lucy's frailty review, which is essentially them going out and deciding whether old people shouldn't be saved, which is disgusting, it was decided that, quote, should her heart stop beating naturally, CPR will not be initiated because this would not be in her best interest. Shouldn't that be her choice? Shouldn't that be her family's choice? Yes. Lucy appears to have been caught up in a new project by the NHS to help, that's a friendly word to put right there, to help those who are over 65 and living at home. As part of this, the age groups are encouraged to make early decisions about their advanced care, which is an NHS euphemism, for end of life treatment. So the point is that they look at her and say, well, you're doing really well for your age. And that is still somebody we don't want to keep around. Or, you know, that's how I'm reading this, but I think that's pretty damn clear. So even somebody who's low on that scale is deemed do not resuscitate. I just don't understand how this can be. These are the entities pretending they care about these same people, that they're fighting to give these people the injections because it's for their best interest, but then they're going around literally finding ways to make sure that we do not help them back to life. Now, on the do not resuscitate notice, it says that it's been issued because of her frailty and also comorbidities. Let's not pretend like COVID is nothing to do with this. A medical term meaning simply more than one ailment simultaneously. It is valid in her home, out in the community, and if she is taken to the hospital, that this note. So no matter what happens to her now, they have it on record and they won't save her. Lucy insists that the nurse did not give her a physical test, such as, you know, walking from her chair to the door, or ask her to fill out a questionnaire, or find out anything from her. Key components of alternative, more detailed frailty assessments. You know, actually finding out if the truth is whether she is frail or whether she can get up and walk. He made this conclusion without even asking her these questions. Probably because it has to do with her age alone. That'd be my take. But it says, she says this in the interview. He disappeared from my sitting room after she invited him in the house during the conversation. Just got up and walked away from her in the middle of a conversation. She says she couldn't see where he was. But in the letter, he said that she has a three-wheel walker that she, by the way, doesn't use in the bedroom down two sets of stairs. He then went in there without her permission. So he went in the other room, saw this thing, reported it as the reason why she's frail, even though she doesn't use it. Lucy's elder son, and this is where it gets even more gross, 66-year-old Raymond explained, quote, Stephen, the other son, got a call out of the blue from the frailty nurse. He thought Lucy, the mom, had already agreed to the no resuscitation order, so he didn't interfere, which I guarantee you they were very quick to insinuate, to allow him to assume that's how it went down. But when Lucy rang Raymond herself about the DNR, he was stunned. It was upsetting for her, but our family too, said the recently retired postal worker at his home in Maidenstone, Kent. Quote, it is frightening that she is being refused medical help if her heart stopped. So they made the decision independent of the facts that she should not be saved, that she's not important enough to give medical treatment to, and then tricked her son into allowing it to happen. But don't worry, they care about these people, right? It's all about making sure these people are safe. That's what they're telling us. Doesn't seem to make the same sense, though, does it? When you actually see what they're doing. As always, narrative versus actions. People who are stuck in political paradigms in our country, the two-party illusion, are very quick to believe words and ignore actions. But smart, intelligent people, or just basically intelligent people, can look at the actions themselves and realize that the narrative is the literal opposite. And I'm pretty sure actions mean more than narrative. But on top of all of that, here's what, so these people are, this, and this woman is lucky enough to be at her own home. But those that are in these care room, in these basically, don't forget that 70% of the people that died are in these care, in these, you know, at these nursing homes. which shows you that there's something very disgusting happening here, but inside an inflatable room of hugs. And we've already shown you one of these, but this just makes me sick, where Italian care home residents can touch their loved ones through plastic screens. All right, so this woman, all said and done, based on the odds, is probably going to die in this place because of what's happening. Because they're not, because they're doing everything they can, apparently, to make sure that they don't help. Are we going to pretend like these people in these homes have do not resuscitate, or that they're going to help them if they're not willing to help a woman that's not in the home, that goes out and walks every day and takes care of herself? Really? But these people are going to be saved. Yeah, right. But yeah, they're going to come in and they're going to hug them wrapped in plastic and then through plastic. This makes my heart hurt. This is what your government is doing to people. I mean, it really does make me sick. Just look at that. This woman wants to see her family. And your government has decided that they know better than you in regard to your life, your family, your health, your actions. Do you think that man cares in this moment? I mean, I've already shown you these where they're breaking down because they cannot see their family. Now, of course, if they're not lucky enough, which is the wrong choice of word, to have a plastic screen that can be used, a lot worse things are happening here. As we've seen, I was just going to grab it. Now I'm hoping I still have it in here. Oh yeah, right. And this, you know, we see stuff like this, which is just really, really hard to watch.
Well, right. Well, can I tell you, for the record, that her color is very poor. You know, she's quite blue around the lips, and her breathing is quite fast, and that's, to me, that is a cause for concern.
Well, like I say, we've not had any.
Well, I know, but you never do have concerns for her. Do you know, with respect, you don't. You know, I understand you're doing your best, but, you know, I can see that my mother is not well just by looking at her through the window.
Well, all I can suggest is that you ring up on Monday morning.
Well, what do you mean I ring up on Monday morning? That's two whole days away.
Well, like I say, I'm not the manager.
So you're not the manager, but, I mean, I'm reporting. Hang on a minute, just a minute before you go. I am asking you. I want this doctor. Hang on a minute. Don't take her away. Hey! Don't take her away.
Tina.
Don't take her away. Don't take her away. You bastards! You absolute bastards! Oh God.
I can't even begin to understand how that must have felt. This is what they've brought us to, based on an illusion, based on fake tests, based on manipulated numbers, based on authoritarian power grabs. They're watching your families die. Of course, on top of all of that, there's still at least letting in many places, but in some places forcing children to continue to be masked based on these illusions, based on this information that's being obviously misrepresented. But here is a huge study in Germany specifically in regard to children and masking. And it's unbelievable. Remember that we just showed you the WHO themselves, who said yesterday, excuse me, that you should watch the previous show I did yesterday if you haven't seen it. Because it's the WHO is stating in their own documentation as of December 1st that the science in regard to masking of healthy people in regard to reducing transmission, the science is limited and inconsistent. And then it goes on to show you that the vast majority of random controlled trials and the gold standard all say that there is zero, statistically speaking, no reduction, no statistically significant reduction in transmission. And then it goes on to say, but in contrast, here are some other ones, and here's an observational study with 15 people, and here's a computer model. But they make a very clear statement in regard to all of the evidence, that it is limited and inconsistent. But yet, here we are, where the world seems to be mandating these things, despite the very obvious side effects, which I'll show you in a minute. But here's the study in regard to children specifically, which is a big deal. The results. In 2020, it says they set up a place where parents could reach out and discuss and verify their children's reactions and side effects in regard to wearing masks. So it says the registry, and this is an observational study, right? That's important, right? Exactly what they won't tell you when they want you to think that one of these is the best thing ever. Now, this one study by itself is not just the home run only thing that we need to see. And just by somebody saying, here's why this one study is not real, that's not enough, because we have all of the other ones. So this, taken in conjunction with the other 13 random controlled trials that all clearly find negative health effects, this just adds to that. But see, today, all they want to do is address one point in one moment and act like, here's why this is despair. Here, because this one guy up here, he does this, he has a history of cheating on his wife, and so this whole thing doesn't count. This is the kind of stuff we're seeing today. Or some kind of an issue. Oh, it's an observational study. It's not even a random controlled trial. That doesn't count. But then they'll happily shove those in your face. It's the full body of evidence. That's what we're trying to show you here. And this is one more on top of all the others, which, again, I'll reference when we get to next and wrap this up today. But the results. The registry had been used by 20,353 people. In this publication, they report that the results from the parents who entered data on a total of 25,930 children, the average wearing time of the mask was 270 minutes per day. Impairments caused by wearing the mask were reported by 68% of the parents, which included irritability of 60% of the kids, headaches of 53%, difficulty concentrating of half of them, 10,000, 50% of them had less happiness, reluctance to go to school, 44%, malaise, 42%, it's more complex than just feeling bad. It's weakness, it's illness, it's uneasiness, it's horrible. Impaired learning, 38%. Drowsiness or fatigue, 37%. Now, these are huge numbers. The vast majority of them had all kinds of side effects. And of course, the important ones are things like malaise, headaches, impaired learning, fatigue, drowsiness. These are because of reductions in blood oxygen level and a lot of other things, which I've shown you at length on this show. Now, I've included this again, just for you to go through. And as always, as I say on every one of my articles, I'll just show you this on the main page. You see, as always, the videos here, they're playing now. The links will come after I'm done. But as always, underneath it, here are five studies from 2004 to 2020 from the NIH, National Library of Medicine, BM, from the British Medical Journal, all finding verifiable, measurable health effects from wearing a face mask, including scientifically verified reduction in blood oxygen level. You can read them for yourself. Here's the cloth mask study, which shows a dramatic increase of infection risk if wearing a cloth mask, which the vast majority are. And here's a bunch of studies, some of them, in regard to efficacy, which have varying degrees of finding. Some of them in there say that here's some efficacy, but here's when they combine them with hand washing and so on. Right? The point is for you to research it. Most of them confirm what we're saying. All that is there for you to look at. And this one was published on July 30th, but they updated it December 15th, Swiss Policy Research. And it is saying repeatedly and citing all of these things, as it says right off the bat, most studies found little to no evidence for the effectiveness of cloth masks in general population. And this is important, neither as personal protective equipment nor as source control. So it doesn't protect your grandma and it doesn't protect you. And it goes through all these points. It shows you that mask mandates were happening in every place, and then after them is when they had spikes. Seems interesting. And they cite all their material. Then it shows you here the idea that these studies, they're pointing to saying, look, masks work. And then they make it clear in all of these citations that the studies argued that cloth masks were effective, but then typically the studies ignored effects of other measures. They ignored all kinds of things. Basically, they were fallacies in all of them. And they show you, they prove them. And this has already been called out by all kinds of people. It goes on to show the risks, and it says very clearly, wearing masks for prolonged periods is not harmless. as all of these show you. And some of, I had to go through all these because half of these I don't think I've even talked about. But as I've shown you in all the studies, which I won't go through again, on the page that I've cited, all come to the conclusion, and they're mostly randomly controlled trials, that they have verifiable reductions in blood oxygen level. Measured. They measured them and proved them. But that's a fake news conspiracy theory, though. Hopefully, you'll take the time to read it for yourself. But seeing as how we're finding all these things, the evidence is all there. The picture is there. It's just about whether you're willing to acknowledge it. And of course, to finish up here, the foreknowledge is obvious, guys. It's happening, they say. Just spotted these shirts that come with matching masks. 2020 fashion is wild. Right, so now you've got entire companies that are making shirts with matching mask material. So this won't happen, you know, we're going to pretend like this won't happen forever, but they're creating entire new clothing lines and creating marketing campaigns and all kinds of stuff based on the thing that will end in a couple months, right? This is your new normal. This is what they're building. And if you don't see that by now, you're being willfully ignorant. It's all right in front of you. And of course, to finish, I wanted to make sure we're aware of yet another example of the manipulation, just to kind of wrap up, just we talked about Iran yesterday. The other example of them saying that he threatened, I mean, the lies, basically manipulating what he actually said, that he said he's going to kill Donald Trump. And then you immediately find the fact that the translation was intentionally deceptive, that he didn't even say anything close to that. And it's easily verifiable. They did it because they want you to think Iran is threatening people because they want to justify either a false flag that's about to happen or an attack they're going to wage. In any case, that's what they've done every time before. Here's another example, though. Iran threatens to avenge Soleimani's death in the U.S.'s own home. But here's exactly what, even in the article, what they say. Soleimani was assassinated by the world's most brutal men, he declared. The Iranian commander added, I say frankly that the path of the Quds forces and the resistance forces will not change because the evils committed by the United States. Even in your home, as in the United States, there may be people who will pay for this crime. That is a huge leap to say that he's talking about bombing something. That is obviously saying that people will be held accountable for their crimes. Because they will be. And he's saying, even where you are, you may be held accountable. Because people like us who care about the truth are saying they murdered that person and they should be held accountable. But of course, it ends up in the mainstream as he said death in the U.S.'s own home, which is just simply an intentional misrepresentation. So think about the COVID scenario and everything else and how they will willfully misrepresent the facts to achieve their goals. And that is completely reflecting on the government that has abused your trust, pretended to be the good guy because they know that that's what Americans want, and have gone out and done horrible things around the world. And pointing out that obvious no-brainer observation does not make anything anti-anything. It simply makes you pro-facts. It's just really stupid today that people try to disparage this. I mean, from one passing day to the next, I'm an Iranian shill, and then I'm a Chinese shill, and then I'm a Russian shill. Oh, now I'm an ISIS shill. And it's just stupid. The idea, guys, is that, as always, this show is about the facts and the objective material. Yes, I've got my opinions, but if anybody out there is thinking that I'm trying to force them on anybody, they're not watching this show, which I think is abundantly clear. So thank you for being here and continuing to, you know, power through the morons that are trying to shout things at anybody else. And it's you guys are the reason that I feel hopeful about where we're going, because you are smart enough to question, including me, anybody. That's not because I'm so much far above anybody. It's just because that you're watching this show. You're willing to continue still even then to question it. Because you know what? It's a sign of true intelligence to be able to consider a point of view without fully accepting it. So the people out there that act like interviewing somebody with an opinion that is something that they shouldn't be talking about, they're the problem. Because we should be interested to hear countering opinions, whether or not we end up agreeing with them. That's called intelligence. And I know that you guys see that, and that's why you're here. So thank you for continuing to fight for it. Thank you for continuing to share the information. Please get this in front of everybody that you can. And, by the way, make sure that you continue to branch out on the other platforms. Because, guys, YouTube is... we have like 700 people watching on YouTube with, what, 13,000 subscribers? It's crazy. But that's going to go away. YouTube is going to go away. I'm not going to fight for it. YouTube is, in my opinion, a dying platform. Yet they're still the most prominent in regard to the people that don't see the full picture. So make sure you go somewhere else. Make sure you watch on the other platforms. Now, understand, the problem is I know you guys love the live stream. I know you love the chat. And as of right now, there doesn't seem to be many other that are competing in that regard. But there's one that I'm working on that will, very soon, change the playing field, I would argue. But we're making sure that it's done perfectly correct. And, you know, time is the trade-off there. But up until that point, at the very least, make sure that you're sharing the other platforms. Like, right when I'm done, I'm going to upload it on Odyssey and BitChute and Rockfin and everywhere else. Hopefully, you're going there instead. Because this is going to change. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
What if the experts are wrong? What if quarantining the healthy doesn't actually save lives? What if wearing a mask in public is not effective?
If you do not have a mask, you cannot ride public transportation, sir.
My name is Dr. Jeff Barkey, and I'm here representing thousands of physicians across the country whose voices are being silenced because we don't agree with the mainstream media and the experts who are telling us what to do.
Everything I've seen in the last 9 days, all the things that just don't make sense, the patients I'm seeing in front of me, the lungs I'm trying to improve, have led me to believe that COVID-19 is not this disease and that we are operating under a medical paradigm that is untrue.
Never in the history of this great republic have we quarantined the healthy. Never in the history of this great republic have we told churchgoers that it's illegal for you to exercise your First Amendment right of freedom of religion. Never in the history of this country have we been told that you can't go to church because it's not essential, but you can go get an abortion because that's essential. Never before in our country have we let criminals out of jail, but we've told you you can't exercise your Second Amendment right and protect yourself by purchasing a firearm. When liquor stores are deemed essential, but your businesses are deemed non-essential, there's something wrong going on.
We cut off people's utilities this week and made them pay what could have been their last check to us to turn their lights on in a global health pandemic. But you don't care about that. You didn't want to meet.
This booklet, the Declaration of Independence and our U.S. Constitution, was never designed to restrain the people. It was designed to restrain the government. We're realizing that the fatality rate of this virus is in the ballpark of a bad seasonal influenza. Do not let your voices be silenced. We will see eventually that this government-imposed cure is going to be worse than the virus itself.
Stop. Help, man, this shit ain't right, bro.
But what's happening now as unemployment reaches 20 to 30 million people is those folks are now becoming dependent on the government. And what government dependency causes is a larger, more tyrannical government.
Look. He ain't even do nothing. He ain't even do nothing.
We the people want to put our government back in its place. We want a small representative government, not a large tyrannical government. I'm here representing thousands of physicians around the country whose voices must be heard.
We've never seen where we quarantine the healthy, where you take those without disease and without symptoms and lock them in your home.
So you guys are asking me to leave the store for not wearing a mask when I have a medical condition, even though yours was pulled under your nose.
There's a note that says,
I don't have to bring a note, and yours isn't even on.
You can do whatever you want to do.
It's America, right?
Listen. Get out.
I cannot wear a mask.
Get out.
Do not let your voices be silenced.